you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
What the hell?
This is supposed to play something now. Wait a sec, because I'm going to make this work. This is the newest song, okay, with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton. Let's see if this works or not. There it is. Let's try it now, because I really like this song.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
What you talking about, man?
You think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
I know, sir.
I don't think so.
I know, sir.
I don't think so.
I know, sir.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And now,
show us your penis.
Dude, we don't do that.
Right. I know. Imagine if we did. That'd be gay, right?
Our feature presentation.
What was that from? What was that last clip from?
No idea.
That's fantastic. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Monday, the 12th of February.
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes. We're going to be updating our viewers coming up shortly on...
Can't wait for that.
That's some of the sensitive coverage from CNN over the weekend.
CNN said, is she still dead?
Is Anna Nicole still dead? This is one of those guys. What's his name? Cafferty, I think. He does the Cafferty report or Cafferty file, something like that. He's one of these real super old school cranky guys who it must be driving crazy, as it is me, by the way.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I get
that. CNN is doing, 100 hours a week on Anna Nicole, yeah, on the death of a stripper. They're doing 100 hours a week when there's actually stuff going on in the world that they could be covering.
Right.
So he's throwing it to Wolf for his report.
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes. We're going to be updating our viewers coming up shortly on...
Can't wait for that.
Can't wait for that, he
says. Can't wait. Give me that update.
I love that Wolf doesn't crack.
I know.
Yes.
Yes, she still is dead, yes.
That's the latest.
That's what you get for watching CNN, by the way.
If you're watching any channel, it's not just CNN. If you're watching any channel, you have to ask. I mean, even, when the thing happened, I switched over to Fox News, and they're the same thing. Still wall-to-wall, standing out in front of a hotel, It's just, how is it news, is my question.
How dead does a person have to be, is my question.
I have to tell you, I listened to NPR that same day, mm-hmm, and it was so cool that was not their first story in their half-hour news.
If they didn't put me to sleep, I could listen to them.
But it was probably, I don't even know if it was in there. I guess it was, but it was towards the end.
Yeah.
Look, she was famous. It was worth a mention. It's sure. Worth, oh, by the way, the 94 Playmate of the Year, Anna Nicole Smith, is dead. That's about the extent of it. Although, now there's, all these court cases going on, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next. This how long until they charge Howard K. Stern?
This is the nuttiest story I've ever seen with Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband.
I heard. And then the lawyer.
What's up with that? What lawyer? What?
The lawyer for the husband who said, oh, he's a liar. Don't believe him. But I
really
slept with Anna Nicole. That's
the lawyer
what I
said
heard.
That too?
Yeah.
Awesome.
They're just... This story, out of the woodwork.
This story is just getting stranger and stranger every day. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin today. He's got all the updates.
Okay, good.
He's our man.
Including, by the way, have you seen the pictures on TMZ.com of her refrigerator?
What?
No. Why would we have a picture of her refrigerator? Oh, the inside, you mean? Like,
yeah.
Food?
Yeah.
Empty?
Well,
why is that
no
a story?
Food. Well, first of all, there's tons of methadone in the fridge, which is, what killed Daniel. And then there's all sorts of Slim Fast, which is hilarious because she's a Trim Spa spokesperson. But it's just, there's too much to even bring up here. We will catch up with what's going on with Harvey. And I guess Howard K. Slime signed like $1 million deal with Entertainment Tonight or somebody for an interview. He's already given an interview about Anna. I mean, that's what they live on. That's what Howard and Anna lived on, was getting paid for interviews.
I know, but they're paying him?
It's like $1 million. That's the rumor. We'll ask Harvey if that's what he's heard, but that's the rumor, and I think it starts tonight.
Oh, my God, and they're going to stretch it out over like 4 weeks?
Yep. Yep.
I might have to take my own life as well. I don't think I can.
I don't blame you. You have to join your sweet Anna.
Also on this morning show, we have highlights of the Grammys last night.
How'd that go, Kevin?
All right.
Yeah.
Went okay. I couldn't hate the Dixie Chicks more, though.
Really?
Actually, I like the two of them. I hate the lead singer. What's her name?
Natalie, the hot one?
Hate.
What?
Hate.
The hot one?
Dude,
she's
she
the least
fantastic
hot.
Last night.
She was the least hot. The other two were so much hotter.
I don't think so.
It doesn't.
I thought she never looked better than she did when they sang their song near the top of the show. I thought she looked fantastic.
Yeah, and then she opened her mouth to speak, and
well, she does rub people the wrong way, and I think it's on purpose.
No way! You're giving her way too much credit.
No, I do. I think she enjoy. I think she enjoys prickling people.
No
really
way! She's just hateable. I don't know much about them at all. Their country act.
Isn't that what you think makes her hateable? Is it she's annoying on purpose?
No. I think she's annoying on, she thinks she's being entertaining. I think she honestly thinks she's being entertaining.
Yeah, I've seen them for many years. I've never gotten that impression. I think she really enjoys just pissing people off.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Which I think makes her more of a dick than if she did it accidentally.
No, I mean, you know, that's a fine line to walk, but I just know that my gut reaction to her, and I don't know much about them or her, mm-hmm. but my gut reaction to her was, God, shut up. Shut your mouth. You're such a douche. The other two were fine. I thought the other two were, you know, I'd have sex with either of them, but not her. She drives me crazy. Also on today's show, we have Fallout Boy. If you missed it on Friday, we had him late in the show. We're going to have some highlights coming up just after 6 o'clock.
I like those dudes.
Yeah, it was strange when they played Kiss by Prince. That was a little weird.
you will hear that. By the way, I don't know if you've seen your email yet, but we do have, if we have time to squeeze in, and I know we have a very busy show, but Joan and Melissa on the red carpet yesterday, which we forgot to talk about, but they... I'm not suggesting seriously, please don't call the FBI that somebody needs to take them out with one bullet, but seriously, I mean seriously, needs to take them out with one bullet.
Did you watch them?
And by the way, I say that because I don't want to waste two bullets on them. That's why I just one bullet to take them both out. Yeah, because you could use that other bullet for something else.
You need to line up in a straight file.
I did, and I will tell you that as Ralph reported after the Golden Globes, they clearly have been schooled about the interviews and about knowing who everybody is.
Right.
Because that's that part, I mean, they've really made leaps and bounds progress there in terms of having questions for people. And knowing who they are. And that's disappointing to me because that's part of their unprofessionalism that I've enjoyed for so much. But the open of the show where Joan, who still considers herself a comedian, even though anyone who ever thought she was funny is already dead.
Yeah.
She comes out with, you know, like a 5 minutes out of the gate is just jaw-dropping. You just can't figure out how they put it on television.
Didn't she used to be the fill-in for Johnny Carson back in the day?
She sure did.
Yes. When he was doing The Tonight Show, she was a permanent fill-in.
I think she did it 100 times, 200 times maybe she did it. I mean, she was always on, and she was considered very, very funny, but those days are long
gone. Those days are so gone.
We do have to squeeze that in because they were on the red carpet and they are coming back for the Oscars in 2 weeks. So
fantastic. Also on this morning's show, we have Richard Makowicz. I don't know if you've seen this show or not on the Military Channel and on Discovery, but it's Future Weapons.
And I have not.
It's some crazy, crazy stuff. I mean, from sound bombs to lasers to guns that point around the corner at a 90-degree angle. I mean, it's crazy the stuff that's out there.
Yeah, they have really cool stuff.
They can't really mass produce it yet because it's too expensive, but it's just, it's out there.
Yeah.
Future Weapons. It's a great TV show. I wasn't even aware of it until Psycho Mike and Ralph started talking about it. So we're going to talk to the host of that show today. He's a former Navy SEAL for 10 years. Carl Edwards, NASCAR driver, in the studio today.
Yeah.
And Tyra Banks is a bitch, also coming up this morning.
Oh, how dare you.
Plus, I interviewed Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on Friday night at their rehearsal for the Grammys.
Was he wearing a Laker uniform?
Who looked dorkier than he did?
It was an old school, too. Wasn't he? He had the socks up to his knees last night.
It's just unbelievable.
I think he got confused. They told him he was playing Staples Center. I think he thought, oh, I got a game tonight.
Yeah, he's a huge Laker fan. He writes a blog for the Lakers, even. I mean, he writes a blog about the Lakers, yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, and he's been a crazy fan since 1972, he said.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Don't get me started, by the way, on how this shrouded in secrecy performance that will last a lifetime that everyone will be talking about.
No,
the Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up, and it's just confetti.
Confetti was the end all. That's all it was.
Ooh, because you can't recover from that, man. You never get past that. Are you kidding me? People are calling all over the world. The Chili Peppers had confetti? No way.
How do they do it?
That's never been done before. You don't mean pyrotechnics. No, just paper falling from the sky. Come on. Douchebag announcer last night kept stringing us on throughout the whole Grammys. Oh, that guy. When you could hear him, he annoyed you.
He's so bad.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we have tickets for you to see Incubus in Iceland.
Yeah.
That's coming up this morning. It's destination number 6. Are we doing the grand prize? No, that's not right. No. This is...
Yeah, that was Friday. That was Friday we gave that away.
All right, hang on a second. Hey, lady, where's the Incubus? We're giving away Incubus tickets. Is it local?
We're down on the way in. Oh, okay. All right. I don't know about that then.
Incubus died at the Wiltern is the answer.
Oh, okay.
At the Wiltern. Yes. Not quite Iceland, but at the Wiltern.
That's better. It's closer.
And Fall Out Boy, too. I already said that, yeah. Fall Out Boy in Paris is the world tour.
That's right.
That's what I mean to say. Okay. All right. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat coming up next. Seriously, confetti. Not kidding.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. I've seen all the greats throughout the years, too. I've seen all the great entertainers, but no one drops paper from the ceiling like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Everybody's talking about it today. Oh, the Grammy announcer was right. Tomorrow will be a performance everybody will be talking about.
It's insane.
We were talking about it, man.
I hate that guy.
So did you see that paper?
they did that shocking performance of that song we knew they'd do.
Oh, that one.
Couldn't believe it.
What a surprise. They would play the hit off their album.
Current song that everyone's sick of. That's the one we want to see.
Everyone's talking about it.
But at least they cut up the paper into little pieces.
They didn't drop down
sheets. It's as if it was snowing, but it was paper.
Not 8.5 by 11. Little pieces.
It was the high-tech special effects we've come to expect from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The pressure's on now for every other Super Bowl halftime show. How do you compete? Yeah, somebody dropped paper.
You can't. It's not fair. It should be outlawed.
5:49, talking about the Grammys and everything else going on in the showbiz world. Here's our pal, Ralph Garman.
Greatest moment of the Grammys last night? You're not crazy. Gnarls Barkley's coming up next.
That's when
I said, I got to turn this off.
Yeah, you made the right choice.
Oh, dear Lord. You're not crazy.
Dude, I tried to tell him that was bad, but...
No, you didn't.
I did.
You wrote that one. That's what I'm guessing.
You ad-libbed it.
I'm not a big fan of corny.
Grammys were last night. Dixie Chicks won every award imaginable. 2,900 Grammys they won last night.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot of Grammys, isn't it?
I thought it was just 5. I heard it was only 5, Ralph. Am I get wrong on that?
Seemed like more.
Yeah, okay.
Police opened up the show. It was great to see them together again. They sounded great. And Mary J. Blige, boy, she sure loves her some God, don't she?
Yes, she does.
Here's a little clip of her accepting one of her 3 awards last night.
Thank you. I just have to thank my Father God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's right. This is the first time I've ever been up here to receive anything. And I thank you so much.
Her Father's God? That doesn't seem quite fair. Of course she's going to win.
She has an advantage?
Yeah, God says... All right, you win. Big hand comes down and points at her. It's not fair.
I don't think she means literally.
Dad's God.
Physically.
My dad was God. I'd have a cool award, too.
Yes, you would. But you don't.
It's not fair. She loves herself now, too, by the way. I don't know if you caught that in the show.
I did catch that.
Finally, she loves herself. Because you can't love anybody else till you love yourself.
She was a, as usual, hell of a performer, though. They gave her 2 slots last night. She was terrific.
That number she did with Ludacris, that was spectacular.
Luda, we like to call it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Luda. It is award season this weekend. Also marked the prestigious BAFTA Awards that were given out in London. That's sort of their version of the Oscars and the Emmys, quite frankly. They do both TV and film. Last night, the film awards were given out. Surprise, surprise, Helen Mirren won for Best Actress for her performance in The Queen.
Huh.
The only thing that could have shocked me more is if they dropped confetti on her as she was accepting the award.
It was the award everybody was talking about this morning. Forest Whitaker won for Best Actor for his role as Idi Amin in The Last King of Scotland. So far, they're betting 1,000.
Right down
kids.
The line.
The only real surprise of the evening was The Queen taking Best Film ahead of Babel, The Departed, The Last King of Scotland, and Little Miss Sunshine. A lot of people thought... Perhaps it wouldn't pick up the film award, but it is England, it is the Queen, so what are you going to expect? Best Director Award went to Paul Greengrass for his September 11th drama, United 93. So.
Interesting that would win Best Director in Britain and probably won't in the United States.
Yeah. I'm just surprised Scorsese still hasn't picked up a major award yet. I'm starting to sweat it a little bit for our boy Marty. We'll have to wait and see. Oh, Rosie O'Donnell. Did you hear the news last week?
No.
Everybody was up in arms because just hours before Anna Nicole Smith died, she was on The View talking about how much she hated Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah?
So people think now she's related to the death somehow.
Oh, she made it happen?
She sent some bad energy down Florida way, and next thing you know, bum. She said, if I had to see Anna Nicole Smith on television one more time...
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Just before a weekend of...
You don't have to, really, now. You know.
Not alive, anyway.
Yeah.
She can hardly speak now, Rosie added. It's a tragedy all around. Well,
there you go.
Rosie also speculated some kind of medication or substance is involved in her odd behavior.
What?
She is uncanny. She's got insight, O'Donnell. This is a great story. Ralph Fiennes, or Ralph if you're reading his name, is at the center of a big sex scandal in England now because he was on a long flight from Australia to India late last month when reportedly he became amorous with a Qantas stewardess named Lisa Robertson.
Is that right?
She walked into the toilet and he followed her in and the door was closed and the next thing you know, they all came out disheveled and sweaty.
Oh, wow.
Now her job's in jeopardy.
Oh, they should give her a bonus.
Apparently, her colleagues, her fellow flight attendants, spotted her leaving the same toilet as the 44-year-old actor. And, yeah.
Wow.
That, you know, they've cut back first class so much in recent years that sounds like a step in the right direction to get it back to where it ought to be.
I'm going to
start
flying some Qantas, that's for sure.
No kidding.
However, here's what Lisa Robertson, the stewardess in question, has to say. While conversing with Mr. Fiennes during my break, I expressed a need to go to the toilet. I went to a nearby toilet and entered it. He followed me and entered the same toilet. I explained to him that this was inappropriate and asked him to leave.
Of course.
Mr. Fiennes became amorous towards me, and after a short period of time, I convinced him to leave the toilet, which he did. I left the toilet a short time later. See, it was all a big misunderstanding.
It was just a misunderstanding.
You lock those behind you.
You do
people
usually.
People couldn't really just follow you in so
Not
much.
In Australia, Lisa. Don't you know anything?
I didn't.
They don't have any locks on any doors
no
in Australia.
Idea.
It's their culture.
She went on to say...
I'm mad at him. Hey.
She's not trying. He was helping me find a contact or anything like that.
No.
Sticking with that story, huh?
He just followed her. Maybe he was confused.
He didn't understand.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't know she was in there.
She explained things to him.
Those airplane restrooms are so huge, it's easy to go in and not recognize that there's another person
in
there somewhere.
You spend 10, 20 minutes, and therefore he knows you're not alone.
That's true.
Turn around, see somebody at the other end. Congratulations, Bean.
Why?
What happened? I don't know if you've heard the news or not, but the High School Musical TV movie over there on Disney.
Yeah. What?
That Bean loves, like a 13-year-old girl.
Because it's so awesome, right?
Because it's so awesome.
They're making a feature film.
Oh, sure. I'm not signed up for the email updates. Come on.
Spinning off from High School Musical. Haunted High School Musical.
What?
Will be the big screen feature film.
Haunted?
Version.
They're going to make it a scary version of?
Apparently, it's going to be some Halloween-themed High School Musical.
There's a High School Musical 2 on the Disney Channel later this year, and the feature film, plus the live show.
Okay, you know too much about this off the top of your head.
It's just, it's an embarrassment of riches. Thank you, Ralph, for bringing that up.
The show's had a profit of $100 million so far, the TV show.
Really?
With merchandise, soundtracks... Advertising, what have you. $100 million.
The selling album of last year.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
As am I.
$100 million is what I'm saying.
Yeah. They're going to make 10 of those if they can.
And it is Oscar time. We're rapidly approaching the award show. And Clint Eastwood is, well, you know, he's nominated for Best Director for Iwo Jima.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Letters from Iwo Jima. He, however, thinks it could be Martin Scorsese's year.
Yeah.
He thinks that Marty leads the race for his... job of directing The Departed.
Doesn't it seem like there should be three winners for that category this year?
Yeah.
I mean, there's really, really great movies.
Agree.
It's a shame to turn anyone down.
Almost every year you find the guys who directed the top five movies are all worthy.
Yeah.
But Scorsese seems to have the lead, Eastwood thinks, because there's less sympathy for him.
Right.
Because he hasn't won an award yet. Eastwood says, I have no control over that. Sounds like he's a little competitive about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So. We don't blame you, Clint.
I'm better, but people feel sorry for him.
You want to settle. You know. The old Italian something, so be it. I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
Well, Clint's won what? Two, at least two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best director.
Two that I know of, yeah. And number one movie at the box office this weekend.
No.
Hey!
How was it, Ralph?
Hey, man, Adam. Hey.
I sadly did not get a chance to
go. What? Oh. After all that, you didn't
I
go.
I was supposed to go. It was my brother-in-law's birthday. We ended up having to go up north and stuff, so we were out of town a lot of the weekend.
Were you trying to talk anyone into it? Seriously, come on. Let's go see Norbit.
No, there's booze at the party. I wasn't leaving, you know, I love me some Norbit, but I'm not leaving Jack Daniels behind just for a movie.
I don't blame you.
So I'll catch up with it this week, but it made $34 million.
It did not.
Hi, how are you?
Norbit 2.
Hey. What I'm saying.
Norbit 2 is what I'm saying. Next weekend.
Today's next weekend. Just going to crank one out this week.
Crank about one a week.
The celebrity birthdays today. Let's take a look, shall we? Joanna Kearns, who played Maggie Seaver on Growing Pains, the mom on that show. She's 54 years old today. Christina Ricci looked so good on the Grammys last night. She was there with Samuel L. Jackson, her co-star in Black Trouser Snake.
That's the worst named movie ever.
Black Snake Moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Black Snake Moan.
What a weird movie that looks like, too.
Yeah, black dude chains up a white girl to his house.
Yep.
Yes.
It's bizarre.
That guy's going to be going in force to see that one. Hey. She's 27 years old today. And Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall, actor, talk show host, UN ambassador. What else has he done?
How do the people feel about
heart
him?
Heart surgeon.
He's all right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
The people do love him. He is 52 years old today. No, you're not crazy. Gnarls Barkley's coming up next. You two deserve each other.
You're right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So, apparently last night the Grammys were held live at Staples Center and on the TV. Everybody's asking some of the same questions this morning. First of all, how unbelievable are Scarlett Johansson's boobs? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything hotter than Scarlett Johansson on the Grammys last night?
She rules the planet, and she really wants me badly, and she just doesn't know it yet.
I was surprised she didn't mention you when she was up presenting an award, because I know the love you two share, but I have already pre-ordered her album on iTunes. I don't know when it's available, but I figure she'll be on the cover, so I need to own that.
Don't even know if she can sing, right?
Don't even care if she could sing. May not even listen to it, as a matter of fact. Scarlett Johansson was just awesome at the Grammys. Number two, what's going on with Smokey Robinson's face? Could it be any tighter?
I think not.
And it was funny that he was singing a song about looking at his face.
Yeah.
Yes. Trash collectors, don't call. Smokey, don't call attention to your face. Because you've got the bad Kenny Rogers plastic surgery going on. And three, could you believe that the Red Hot Chili Peppers had confetti? I mean, that was shocking. That was the performance that everybody's talking about.
I don't know how they got the permits, frankly.
The Grammys, the 49th annual Grammys were last night, and they couldn't have asked for a better opening when these words started the telecast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Police, and we're back! Roxanne!
The place was going off, Kevin. I know you were there. I mean, a standing ovation out of the gate, and what'd you think? I thought they sounded terrific.
I did too, but I know I'm rare in this, but I've heard that song enough. I really have heard that enough. I've heard that song 1 billion times, and I don't need to hear it again.
I kind of agree, because even though the Police have been broken up for 25 years, they've had, you know, Sting's been a solo star and sings that at every appearance that he makes. It's probably his most, you know, biggest and most popular song. Right. But it just, they seemed, you know, Sting himself, who has sung that song a million times, just seems so re-energized. Yeah. He had the new rock and roll hairstyle, and he obviously had the, you know, he looked like a rock star again, as opposed to the goddamn lute music that he's been doing for so long. But it was a terrific way to start the show. I only wish that we had been able to see more than just, you know, 3 minutes of Roxanne. It would have been cool if they'd have been able to do more, or do a medley, or do something.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll find out more today about what their tour is like. But it was a great way to start the show. And then, unfortunately, they let the guy in the booth talk.
Please welcome a Grammy winner and the star of Life Support, Queen Latifah.
That's not how you bring on Queen Latifah, Kevin.
Dude, you got to read the script.
No, all hail Queen Latifah.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
That one was better. You're right.
For folks who don't know, Kevin is the voice of the Grammys, and it's hilarious to us because he barely cuts through. I mean, you struggle all night long to hear Kevin on this show, because if there's anything else going on, if there's music underneath, or in that case, if that clip, if somebody's applauding, you can barely make out what he's saying.
But don't you think that's the right choice, is to just bury me?
Well,
you mean
like
because it's you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then why did they choose you if they just want to bury you?
I'm saying they might as well just run roughshod over me with the sound.
It's odd.
They're missing an opportunity to have somebody that we can hear at home, though, to tell us what's coming up. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know what was going on in the booth. I don't know what pipe you were smoking. But at one point, Kevin, and I don't know how you did this, is talking over himself. And I don't know if you guys caught this or not.
For a complete list of this year's Grammy Award recipients, including those awards.
Wait, what?
The two-time winner already tonight, yeah. T.I.
And it comes back with the T.I. What was...
Well, one of them was pre-recorded, and then I was talking over myself. So that's bad.
Smooth.
Right? I mean, that's not... Is that what they wanted, do you think?
I don't think that was their goal. And then at one point, Burt Bacharach is up on the stage. And by the way, he needs to be put down. He's about 100.
Yeah.
And couldn't talk any.
At all.
Slower.
Yeah.
He's up there with Seal getting ready to... And right in the middle of his presentation, somebody turns on Kevin's mic.
Let me just say one thing. It's a great pleasure for me to be able to give this outstanding award with you.
Here are two.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I figured he'd spoken enough. I figured he had said enough. It's going on too long. We got to move on.
He's done.
No, that's a wrong, that was the wrong button.
Put him down. Strangest accepted speech of the night. And by the way, there were some terrific performances. That's the thing about the Grammys the last few years is they have they give very few awards out. They concentrate on the music. And there were something like 20 performances on the show last night. And some of them were very, very good. I always enjoy Ludacris, for instance. I thought his thing last night with Mary J. doing the Earth, Wind & Fire was good.
And then some of them are Rascal Flatts.
Yeah,
those guys blow anymore.
I don't think they were great.
Could they blow anymore?
But Ludacris,
how gay is the lead singer of Rascal Flatts?
Never thought of him as gay.
He's Lance Bass in the Norbit fat suit.
Yeah.
He's just
maybe he is. That's a good way to describe it. Maybe you're right about that. I didn't notice that.
Man, he's bad.
But Ludacris, who did win for a best rap album last night, had one of the most curious acceptance speeches, and I'm sure a lot of people were wondering about this.
Atlanta, Georgia, I'm bringing this home to you. One more time. Hold on. Wait. Special shout out to Oprah and special shout out to Bill O'Reilly. I love you.
Oprah and Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, yes. Well,
interesting mix.
Bill O'Reilly has done a lot for Ludacris' career by hating him and going on his factor
he talks bad about him.
Talking smack about he's just incensed. He's tried to organize boycotts against Pepsi because they use Ludacris as a spokesperson, and Ludacris does this gangster rap and is for violence against women and on and on and on.
What about Oprah? Ludacris, does she do the same thing?
I think Oprah loves him and has him on all the time.
Oh, okay.
I think Oprah is propping him up in one way, and then Bill O'Reilly is the
propping
white
him
devils.
Up in another.
Yeah. So I think that was very funny that he gave this shout out to Bill O'Reilly, who you just know is just sitting at home seething. Of course, the big winners of the night last night were Mary J. Blige, who won 3, the Red Hot Chili Peppers won 4, and of course, the Dixie Chicks were the big, big winners. They won Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and I know they rub a lot of people the wrong way when they get up and talk, especially little Natalie, who's got a pretty big mouth.
Hate
but
her.
One of the speeches that she gave last night was pretty funny.
That's interesting. Well, to quote the great Simpsons, just kidding. A lot of people just turn their TVs off right now. I'm very sorry about that.
No, you're not. Although,
she finds herself very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
She likes some her.
She might want to shut up and sing like the movie says. I don't know. I have no problem with their songs, but yeah, she does rub you the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then the big moment that we were all waiting for, especially Kevin.
From the Academy Award nominated An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore and Queen Latifah.
Because nothing says an evening of rock and roll like the former Vice President Al Gore on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
Al.
Here goes Al.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Wow, that was a big one.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Really?
Are you? Did you party last night after the show?
Partying after the Grammys.
Really? You went out and partied afterwards?
I partied hardy, Marty.
I have to ask, because the women consider you very, very sexy, did you tap Queen Latifah after the show, Al?
Well, let's take a look at the slideshow, shall we?
No.
We've got some pictures from the Grammys.
You took pictures and made it into a slideshow already?
Here's me banging one of the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, my God.
Which
How
one?
Is you?
I'm not quite sure. One of the goony, tall ones.
All right.
Can't keep them straight.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Here's me applying the poly sealer coat to Christina Aguilera's spray tan. 14 coats of spray.
Wow, that's a lot.
She was tan.
She was. She certainly was.
Here's me handing Justin Timberlake his colonoscopy camera.
What?
Oh, yeah. Justin grabbed the handheld, I guess, for part of his performance last night.
Right.
Put it right up his face. I think he's got acne, too, it looks like.
Very high tech. Here's me drying Fahergi's crotch with a hairdryer.
Oh, it's still wet?
Before she went on stage. Got some nice moisture work. Issues.
Can you only speak in slideshows?
She's got global warming in her panties.
She does, that's true.
Lastly, here's me cutting up some paper for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They made you cut it?
Can you believe they had confetti?
That was shocking.
Everybody's talking about it.
No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
Oh, good. For a minute there, I thought it was crazy. I saw the guy. Isn't that Gnarls Barkley? No, I must be crazy. Then that guy told me I wasn't crazy, so I felt better.
That guy's wrong.
I was crestfallen and shattered last night. I had no idea until they did the memorial section that Gerald Levert was dead.
I didn't either.
I was crushed. I had no idea. So looking forward to his next album. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Norbit, hey! $33.7 million.
I ain't mad at him. Hey!
I ain't mad at him either.
Damn, 30 what?
$33.7 million, almost $34 million.
Couldn't have had worse reviews, yet Eddie Murphy couldn't be laughing more to the bank.
Yes, he is.
That's his career of the last 10 years, isn't it?
Hannibal Rising was number two at the box office, made $13.4 million in its debut. That's a big discrepancy between one and two.
No kidding.
Because I Said So was number three, then The Messenger is four, Night at the Museum was five, Epic Movie was six, Smokin' Aces came in at number seven, Pan's Labyrinth was eight, Dreamgirls nine, The Queen 10. Top 10 at the box office this weekend. By now, you've probably heard the Florida coroner has released the preliminary autopsy report about Anna Nicole Smith's death and said that there was no evidence of illegal drugs in her system.
Wow.
No evidence of a crime. So it's going to take a lot longer to really find out what happened because there's some very subtle findings in her heart and gastrointestinal system. So the investigation into what would cause such a sudden, unexpected death would take 3 to 5 weeks to wrap up, so we may not know for a long time exactly what happened.
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes. We're going to be updating our viewers coming up shortly on...
Can't wait for that. Mister-
that was Jack Cafferty on CNN. Tossing it back to Wolf Blitzer. Pointing out the insanity of all the coverage that was going on this weekend, quite frankly.
Yeah.
When they should have been covering this story.
Oh,
Britney Spears. According to In Touch magazine and one of K-Fed's best friends, she had lots of homosexual trysts while she was married to K-Fed.
Is that right?
She would have lesbian slumber parties, basically. Her thing was to invite some girlfriends over for a night and all of them hang out and have lesbian sex.
EK-Rock microphones were there.
F me, F me, F me. F me, F me, F me.
It occurred over 20 times during the couple's short marriage. 20 times, if you believe K-Fed's friend Omar the Iceman Sharif.
Really? Did you make that up?
Nope. That's the source. And you can't trust the Iceman.
That's right. Who can you trust?
Who can you trust?
Isn't that too good to be true? Isn't that somebody who just wrote it because they want it to be true? Well, what's the evidence on that, the Iceman?
I don't know. I don't think they send the CSI team and they're combing the carpets for pubes.
Just,
I don't know.
Let's just believe it because we want to.
But 24
why do you
want to
look the gift horse in the mouth?
The paparazzi does nothing but follow her and take pictures of everything, including who's going in and out of her house. And we don't hear anything about
why so negative. Coming.
I'm just saying, I want it desperately to be true, but give me something.
Honestly, you don't want it desperately to be true because you're already tearing it apart.
We want it to be true more than you.
I'm just saying, is there one hint of evidence, or is it just completely made up out of whole cloth?
Dude, it's the Iceman.
Oh, I didn't realize it was from the Iceman. Okay.
Well, there is one shred of evidence.
What more do you need?
It says right here, shut up!
It does say it there. I can vouch.
Another day, another celebrity sex tape rumor.
Yes.
This time, they say it's Brandy.
Oh.
Well, I guess she figured if, her brother Ray J could put one out, maybe she'd have one, too. Apparently, there is a video of the former Moesha star getting down somewhere on someone.
I need it. I need that.
Yeah.
So, he has long loved her.
Yeah, I
love
know.
Her. Inexplicable.
Inexplicable.
So hot.
Some people are speculating maybe this is just being released as rumor to take a little wind out of the sails of the story of her having that fatal car accident in December. Yeah. So maybe they're trying to shift our attention a tad bit, and that's a way to do it.
She ran out and did that on purpose. I wouldn't drive with her, but I'd bang her.
And Paris Hilton apparently stocking up for Valentine's Day. She was spotted at Oz on Sunset Boulevard. She blew $500 on an array of X-rated goodies, including an edible candy bikini and thong set.
That's so hot.
Like that candy wouldn't dissolve right up her body the minute she put it on. She also was seen stocking up on penicillin and erythromycin. So
right, wow.
She is getting ready for Valentine's Day.
You can suck up on that.
She loves her some STDs.
Is that right?
Yeah. And Lindsay Lohan has finally got her own place. You know, she'd been living at the Chateau Marmont Hotel for a year and a half.
Wow, that's got to get expensive, doesn't it?
It's got to. And it did, from what I understand. She finally bought herself an apartment. Used to belong to Marilyn Monroe. Excellent choice, Lindsay. I think if you want to live someplace where a starlet who had a control problem with substance abuse and alcohol ended up dying before she was 40. Something to aspire to. It's Monday. I'm already tired of these people.
Well, it's the end of Nicole, I think, that pushes everybody over the top.
Could be. See your fridge pictures? Thanks to Harvey over at TMZ.com.
Yeah, we got to talk to him about those coming up.
Go next. Got a chance to look at her fridge.
That's right.
Slim Fast and Methadone. That's a cocktail.
That's a diet.
Isn't that awesome? A diet?
That's Kevin. Kevin was doing that in Florida at Super Bowl. Right, vodka and Red Bull. He switched over to Slim Fast and Methadone. Today's celebrity birthday is Joanna Kern. She was Maggie Seaver on Growing Pains. She was the mom on that show, 54 years old today. Christina Ricci.
Oh.
Guess I got her. She got her big break playing Wednesday Addams in the Addams Families. Of course, you've seen many feature films starring her after the fact. She's 27 years old today. And Arsenio Hall.
Yes?
If we only had some tape with Arsenio Hall in it, it would go good here.
Ooh! Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
Looking good.
He's looking good for 52 years old. That's how old
and
Arsenio
the best
is.
Part is, ooh, apparently was my attempt to be in the dog pound. Yeah, it was. I forgot about that.
I think I was trying to do, what's the noise he used to make?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's what he was trying to do.
That's what that was?
It wasn't a monkey?
Let's hear that one again. That is a classic.
Ooh, Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
You are so black. That's what I like about you.
Today Arsenio's saying, how come I couldn't be in Norbit? What did Eddie forget about me?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
A little love.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What a weekend of watching more and more news unfold in the shocking death of Anna Nicole Smith. And I got to tell you, TMZ.com, they must have a full-time staff just working round the clock to post stuff like every 5 minutes on Anna Nicole. So let's find out what the weekend has been like for our pal Harvey Levin, the Hammer, on the line with us here on K-Rock. Good morning, Harvey.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
So quite a weekend at the TMZ.com world headquarters, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this is. I'll tell you, I'm at my desk in my home, in my boxer shorts, minding my own business.
Oh, that's too much information already. You got Mike's attention.
five in the morning yesterday, and I make a contact with somebody, and it ultimately leads me to this crazy photograph.
What photograph? I haven't seen it.
You're kidding.
No.
You haven't been on the website in a day?
No, I haven't. I think Kevin knows which one you're talking about. You're talking about the refrigerator, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's funny. Tell people what's in it, and then tell, how does something like that just end up on your desk, Harvey?
Well, here's the deal. She had those little tiny office refrigerators people have?
Right.
She had one in her bedroom in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And inside this refrigerator, and this picture was taken after her death.
Okay.
There was a really big, big container of methadone.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the irony. I mean, it's got other things in it. It's got a vial. But you know who she was a sponsor for, right?
Trim Spa.
Right. There's all the Slim Fast in the refrigerator. God.
Well, I don't think they're going to be using her as a spokesperson anymore anyway, so it probably can't hurt her too much now. But it is very funny. Now, this methadone, is this something that was prescribed to her, or is this completely off the books, Harvey?
We can't tell from the bottle. But I can tell you this, and this is what makes it really interesting and maybe even important. Howard K. Stern, at least one witness is going to testify next month that he gave Daniel, the kid who died.
Right, her 20-year-old son.
Right. They're going to testify that he gave this kid methadone, and after he died, he flushed the rest down the toilet. Now, he denies that, but now we have another bottle of methadone at Anna Nicole's house, so it seems like methadone is all around this guy. Now, his lawyer came out yesterday and said this picture was staged and that people who got inside the house put all this stuff inside.
Come on.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
No, not at all. And by the way, the most recent Anna Nicole Smith story on TMZ.com, we have Harvey Levin on the line with us right now. I love this. Anna Nicole treated Howard like a mosquito. What was your perception with all you've heard about what that relationship was? Clearly, he was glomming onto her, hoping to get some of that money. But what did she see in him?
Well, look, I'm going to tell you something that I haven't even put in the website, but it's something that I found out yesterday in making phone calls.
Okay.
My take on this relationship after Daniel's death, she was suicidal. And she had also had it with Howard and had made rumblings that she wanted him out of her life. So he was trying to glom onto her. And I mean, I'm not saying it's true, but I'm saying that a lot of people think that if she was drugged up, he was just fine with that because it's hard to make a move when you're in that state.
Right.
Oh, I see. So she couldn't get rid of him if she was in that state.
Now, you want to hear, now let me tell you, I mean, this thing just gets weirder and weirder. You want to hear the most amazing development that just came out, and I'm checking it out. We want to find out if it's true. This is incredible.
Right.
There's a newspaper in the Bahamas that supposedly published a photograph this morning of Anna Nicole lying in bed. She's got her clothes on, but she's in a romantic embrace with the Bahamian immigration minister who approved her application for permanent residency.
Oh, my God. Now, isn't that the family that has the baby or had the baby while she and Howard were in Florida, too? Weren't they the ones that were looking after little Danny Lynn?
Well, no, not this immigration minister, no. No, I mean, there was a whole thing about how she got residency status in the country because she needed to own a home, but she really didn't own a home. She was saying that the guy who let her stay there, that gave her this home, which isn't the case. So the whole thing was a little shady, and now this picture is coming out. It's unbelievable.
So she was sleeping with the government of the Bahamas.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not so surprising.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Harvey, since we left the air on Friday, within a few minutes after we signed off at 10 o'clock on Friday, was when Zsa Gabor's husband came out. What can you tell us about that claim for folks who maybe haven't heard about it yet?
It's just fabulous.
Zsa Gabor, by the way, right now. What is she best known for? She's a movie actress or TV actress or what?
Who?
Zsa Gabor.
I'm unclear what the Gabors ever really did. But Ava was on Green Acres.
Right.
But Zsa, God knows. But she slapped a cop. But it's just great. This prince, and we're not sure what he's a prince of, her husband, who's ancient, says he had a 10-year relationship with Anna Nicole and that he could be the father of this kid.
But they interviewed him, they put him on camera, and he refused to say it again. Is he backing off from it, or is he still saying, and is he going to try to get in on some of this paternity test action that's happening?
It ain't going to, I mean, the guy's 90. although her last husband was 90, so.
Yeah.
By the way, they've been married for 20 years, so he's coming out in the press saying, for 10 years of our marriage, I was sleeping with Anna Nicole Smith.
But you know what? Anna Nicole Smith, you know, and I'm not trying to trash her, but the fact is she was really money motivated.
Of course.
And she slept with the guys with a lot of money.
Of course.
And
right.
He doesn't really have a lot of money, so.
Those of you that don't know the story, she did marry a 94-year-old, 93-year-old, something like that.
He didn't look a day over 93.
Right. Harvey, I want to get your, I have two more questions because as usual, we're running out of time here. One is, we took a lot of heat on Friday morning show when we came on the air and said, look, I know that it's customary to say nice things about the deceased, and I know that she had an infant daughter, but I think this infant daughter is going to be better off with whoever she ends up with than she would have been with the life that Anna Nicole Smith was going to offer. And I find it really hard to be broken up over the death of Anna Nicole Smith. It's not like she had a family that she was, you know, tight with that loved her. I mean, she was essentially estranged from her mother. I just don't see what the big loss is here. That certainly isn't a big surprise. How did you feel about it personally when you heard that she had passed?
Sad. I mean, I just think it's such a tragedy. And I mean, look, there have been the deaths all around her and then finally her. And, you know, I wonder about this kid. I worry about this kid. I mean, from what I know, this is not a great situation. And now this kid could have a $434 million price tag on her head.
$434 million? I thought it was 80.
No. If she ends up in here, if you know this fight that Anna Nicole was having with her former husband,
right,
in the state,
for the money.
If she ends up getting that, it goes to the daughter. So the daughter ends up being the cash cow. And everybody's going to be trying to get custody of this daughter for money. And the only person who really isn't is Larry Birkhead, who has said all along, this is his kid and just really wants custody. And it just seems really sad and scary.
Meanwhile, Howard K. Stern apparently has already sold a story and has been interviewed. And I guess they start running that on Entertainment Tonight tonight. I mean, that's what this guy has been doing for money for a long time.
It's So disgusting. I mean, he did this interview within, what, 36 hours after she died?
Wow.
Yeah. Now, these lawsuits, here's my last question for you, Harvey. And again, Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com is an attorney. These lawsuits will all proceed? I mean, will the trim spa suit proceed? Will the paternity test suit proceed? I mean, everything is going to go on just as if she were still here, right? There's still legal issues.
Yeah, because what happens is the estate assumes any obligation, any obligations, and also any rights that Anna Nicole would have had. So all of these things can keep going. But the big thing is the estate of her former husband. The question is whether that money is going to the daughter, because that's who it would go to.
Right.
And I'm telling you, there is just going to be a really ugly battle for this kid.
Are the marshals still standing up for it? They've got somebody out in front saying we're still going to fight tooth and nail to get every penny of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's still an active lawsuit. And, you know, my right. feeling all along was this thing was going to settle. But what it does is it makes custody so, you know, the stakes in custody now are so high
right.
that I'm guessing Howard K. Stern is going to make that his life. But bottom line, my gut is Larry Burkett is the father of this kid.
That's what I've always thought, too.
And eventually they'll have to test.
I think so.
You would think, right?
Yeah. You know who the happiest little girl in the whole USA is today? Is that astronaut with the diapers. I mean, how quickly, seriously, how quickly did she get bumped off of the front page and the monologues and everything? She's gone. As soon as the Anna Nicole thing broke, that's the last we ever heard of the astronaut.
No, that's true.
True.
And Harvey, one last thing for you. Over the weekend, this broke, and I wanted to get your quote.
I thought that Harvey Levin was a black guy.
What about
well,
that?
Sure.
What about that, Harvey?
What, huh? Where was this?
That girl thought you were a black guy. Just a joke. It's 15 minutes after 7 o'clock. TMZ.com is the website to go to if you want to find out anything about Anna Nicole Smith or any other showbiz story, too.
Have Harvey, a good day, guys.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thanks, Harvey. I'm very excited about this. I have not yet heard this, but Kevin, you were at Staples Center a bunch over the weekend getting ready to do the announcing for the Grammys, and I know you ran into the Red Hot Chili Peppers down there. Now, unfortunately, this interview was before their earth-shattering, groundbreaking performance that closed the show last night where they actually used confetti.
Yeah.
The performance that everyone's still talking about. You didn't know that at the time this interview was recorded. Right?
Had I known that, I would have brought it up in its entirety, because that needs to be discussed. They dropped paper from the ceiling.
They sure did, and everyone is still talking about it. At least that's what the douchebag announcer told us.
All of the bands that play on the show, they have to do a full rehearsal. So Friday night was the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they rehearsed for about 40 minutes.
Mm.
And then afterwards, I got to go backstage to the dressing room of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and talk to Flea, and Chad stopped by, and Anthony stopped by, and this is how it went. Backstage with Flea at the Staples Center for the 49th Annual Grammy Awards. I was just watching you guys rehearse out there, and there's a lot of downtime when you're not playing the actual song that you're going to play in the show. And you guys just jam.
That's what we do. That's all we've ever done. And that's really kind of the whole core of our band is jamming.
It was a 45-minute rehearsal. You played the song, I think, twice, and you probably spent 35 minutes just making stuff up.
Yeah, well, that's how we write most of our songs, and we jam for hours and hours and hours and just play music, and every once in a while a song comes out of it. Otherwise, we just play for fun. Our concerts are, you know, half of them are improvisation. We have no idea what we're going to do, and we just jam. And, of course, that's taking a risk, but having that element of risk and that gamble and that creative kind of feeling is, without that, it would be boring, and we would be boring, and our crowds would be bored, and we would have broken up a long time ago.
It seems like there are a lot of people these days, too, who go into music because of the fame part of it. Like, that's what they want. And I'm one of the few people who just despises American Idol. I don't know about you, but, like, half the country watches that show.
Well, I've never seen American Idol, so...
I love you.
Yeah, I just, you know, our culture is really reached a low point in its adulation of fame for nothing. And it's this whole thing of, like, get rich or die trying, or get famous or get power, or get next to rich and famous and powerful, or whatever you can do. And it's just kind of sad. It's like, who cares, you know? It's like, what about, like, being a good person and trying to do something beautiful to contribute to the world that's not about you, you know, getting your dick sucked or your, you know, your tits idolized?
Well, I feel like I'm a good person, but I idolize titties.
Yeah. I'd rather hear Johnny Rotten sing than some perfectly trained little Mickey Mouse Club member anytime. Like someone who has something unique to say and a unique way to say it.
Grammys, you're up for 6,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
Care?
Well, it's a complicated question because it's symbolic of that we've been able to communicate something that's really beautiful to us that we work really hard on to a large group of people.
There's no words for it, right?
And luckily, Chad Smith here. I'm not so much of a winner. Chad Smith he's just a naturally born winner.
Dad, what makes you a natural born winner?
I don't know. I'm really lucky. I am a swordsman. Yeah.
And he's a natural born swordsman, and he wields a mighty tool.
Let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. You write a blog.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we're in the Lakers dressing room right now. I was like under the curtain snooping around trying to see stuff, but everything's locked up and put away.
I was wondering, because this is Friday night when this is recorded, and they played in Toronto and lost at the very last second. So you knew that. You were on stage. How did you know that?
Oh, I got constant score. Every 5 minutes I get this. And I'm such a fanatical Laker fan that when I miss a lot of games more on the road, so that's kind of hard.
But it's
really fun, writing a blog. I like doing it, and I've actually, I've had feedback from the players and stuff.
Really? They read it and said, hey, that's
Yeah, some of them say, every once in a while I write one, and I got a call from one of the players once saying, it meant a lot to them when I wrote or something, which is really cool,
What do you make of the season? They can be fantastic, they can beat anyone, and they can lose to anyone.
It's weird, I think that they're young and inconsistent, and right now they have Kwame and Luke out.
What do you think of our 14-year-old center?
I love him. He has the same birthday as my baby girl, Sunny Bebop.
Right?
Yeah, they have the same birthday, October 27th.
How long have you been a Lakers fan?
Since I moved to L.A. in 1972.
Fantastic. Tell us about your year. This is the beginning of the year. You've been touring for ever.
For basically a year on this record, yeah. And it's been, it's been really intense. It's been really hard. But it's been fun because we made this, this big long album. And
do you play some of the stuff that didn't make? Because I know you were talking at one point about putting out three different.
Yeah.
Do you play some of the stuff that didn't make Stadium Arcadium? Or
Anthony, do we play any of the songs that didn't make Stadium from the writing sessions? Reggae and
rap, country.
No, I didn't hear any of it.
The Funny Face.
Oh, Funny Face. Have we played that? Yeah. There's so many of them, but no, we don't play.
Your oldest daughter, first year of college. That's crazy, first of all.
Yeah, it's great.
Were you considered a cool parent by her high school friends?
Well, she definitely was completely embarrassed by me, and why can't I be normal, and why do you have to be such a weirdo, and don't play loud music when you pick me up in front of school.
Really?
And get the dye out of your hair, and quit wearing weird clothes, and she just embarrassed by me, but some of her friends would think I was cool, and it was kind of a conundrum for her.
Right, sure.
She actually disowned me once. I went to go pick her up at ballet, and I had this real, those kind of punk rock pants with the zippers and suspenders and stuff on them, and I had a mohawk, and it was almost kind of funny, this punk rock uniform I had on but for me it was kind of normal, and I went and picked her up at ballet, and it was in Hollywood, and people thought I was just some punk rock Hollywood Boulevard denizen that wandered off the street.
Scared of you?
Yeah, and the kids were like, who's there, some weirdo in the room? and someone said, Claire, is that your dad? And she was like, oh, no, that's not my dad. And then she walked out, from the ballet studio into where the parents wait, and saw me, and I was like, Claire. And she just, rolled her eyes and, gave me, the most embarrassed, fuck you. get out of here look, and just walked off into the street and completely disowned me in public. I love being a father, and I love, it's such a great opportunity, and, my little ones give me so much life and hope.
All right, well, Flea, thanks a lot for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And best of luck last night, I guess.
No, thanks. And I don't, I don't mean to, I don't even know how I feel about the Grammys. I think it's, winning would be, it would be really fun.
And the Grammy for Best Rock Album goes to Stadium Arcadium!
Peace and love to every living thing.
All right, here's the deal. We have talked for some time on and off about the drink boxing event that we're hoping to do on March the 16th. And people keep emailing us all the time. This is David King of Mexico and Ralph Garman actually boxing until one of them passes out or is killed. And we
have been bringing it up from
time to time. And people keep calling us going, guys, why aren't you giving more information? Where are the details? When do tickets go on sale or whatever you're going to do? How can I make plans to be there? And we've been telling you all along that we're working on stuff behind the scenes. And now I think we're at the point that it's close enough that we actually need some help from you, the K-Rock listener.
Well, here's the thing. K-Rock is cheap.
Right. Really?
Yes.
Right.
So we had planned to do this drink boxing thing. We said, this is going to be great. We're going to raise some money for charity. And Dave and I will square off. It'll be great. And then Mr. Weatherby and the Powers B K-Rock said, oh, I heard you doing this thing. We're not giving you any money to do it. We're giving you no money to put on this event because we've already got all that money wrapped up in the billboards and the advertising we do for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right.
We can't give you any money to do your drink boxing event.
So we say to them, you don't like it? You don't like the idea? Oh, no, we love the idea. Just, we're not going to give you any money for it.
Just screw you. Just, we love it, but screw you is what they say.
But, Ralph, in that meeting, didn't you suggest that they just take a tiny fraction of the cash that they're spending on the Kevin and Bean TV commercials and maybe roll that into the drink boxing budget?
I said use all that advertising budget. You just cut a slice off and give it to us for the drink boxing event. And they said, screw you.
So this is where we need to bring in the K-Rock listener.
So now we have to beg.
Yes.
Which is sad.
Oh, it's sad, but it's typical.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, I know it's typical, but it's sad.
We came up with drink boxing. We started talking about a way to raise money for charity. Dave the King of Mexico and Ralph are going to square off. They're going to fight each other because Ralph's been trained.
Oh, hey, hang on. Did you say Dave the King of Mexico?
Yeah. Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
All right, back to you.
Thank you, B.
See, Dave was talking about how he was working out with the Taibo videos.
That's right.
Billy Blanks. He was training the Billy Blanks way. And he was mouthing off a little bit about his new Christmas gift, how he was rocking the Taibo. And I came in and said, you know, I've been working out with a boxing instructor just as like a sort of a cardio workout for a while now. There's a big difference between, you know, the DVDs and the actually getting into the gym and sweating a little
Dave
bit.
Dave in his room with Taibo.
Yeah, exactly. Flipping back between Veronica Mars and Billy Blanks. It's not exactly the premier workout. So that's the whole thing come up. We put our two styles up against each other, you know, TV watcher versus gym goer.
Boxer against the TV watcher.
That's right.
Did Dave mouth off that his training was every bit as effective as yours, sure, Ralph, and he could bring you down, white man? Did he say something like that?
No, he didn't really. But he got himself a real trainer.
Yeah, I got a real trainer.
You did?
Yeah.
A real trainer.
Yeah.
Coach Williams.
Brian Williams from NBC News, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How about that?
That's what I heard. Yeah.
No. This is the guy from The Contender.
His dad. Okay. Yeah, he has a gym in Long Beach, and that's where I go train. It's awesome.
Okay, but you guys have both been training toward this boxing match. Where is it going to happen? Is it going to be in the parking lot of K-Rock then?
Yes, that's probably
maybe. As of right now.
Well, here's the cop. We're going to have no gloves. We're just going to wrap our hands in some sort of rags.
Gauze.
Yeah, and we have no headgear. We're going to put on football helmets. And apparently we're allowed to fight one person each.
Now, we did make it complex in that we added drinking to the boxing. We kind of created the drink boxing sport. So now we need...
Because Dave and I hitting each other wasn't enough for you guys.
Right. We need to incorporate
alcohol. Now we gotta do shots. Yeah.
So now we need... So shots in between rounds. So now we need a place to hold it because K-Rock will not allow us any money.
That's all.
We need a place that can hold a full-size boxing ring, which is 20 feet by 20 feet.
Right.
It should be able to house at least 100 people is what we're saying.
Sure.
Because how do you raise money for charity?
Really, if you're making a dream, if you're making a wish list, Kevin, why not make it 1,000 people?
105?
Sure.
Must have an alcohol permit that will allow us to start pouring alcohol at 6 a.m.
I'm so tired of all those boxing gym bars popping up all over Southern California.
In a perfect world, it would be in the San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, North Orange County area.
Right.
Uh-huh. Can't go too far south into Orange County because of the restrictions with all of the celebrities that are going to show up.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to love it.
Now, we need concert venues, maybe a sports bar, maybe a dinner club. I don't know.
Dinner theater. That's what we need.
That's what we need, right?
Maybe the Pirates Adventure people can put a boxing ring on their ship.
Hey, that's a good idea. Hey, let me ask you guys this. What about the, I guess I know the answer, but just, you know, for people listening who are thinking the same thing that we thought, which is what about these places like the Mayan or the El Rey or those types of places that have the Mexican, you know, wrestling in? What about those places? Is it just too expensive? Is that why we can't go there?
The Mayan, I think, is having the Lucha Vavoom this week.
This week.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
But we'd have to rent it out, and it costs too much money.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
See, that's the problem. We can't pay anything because K-Rock won't give us any money to do this.
Right.
So we can't buy a boxing ring. We can't rent a hall. We can't get a facility. I mean, there are facilities to be had.
Sure. Yeah, they're out there.
Just we can't
have them.
We don't have any money to spend because K-Rock doesn't make any money.
Right.
So you should be boxing Mr. Weatherby is what it sounds like to me.
1-800-520
pays for all.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number if you can help us out with the drink boxing event. Again, it is March 16th because the 17th, of course, is Saturday. And, you know, St. Patrick's Day, for God's sake. So,
yeah. Or if you can't call in right now, but you have a place, you can email lightning@krock.com. What type of place do you think we're looking for? What ultimately is the venue going to be like?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, maybe somebody can rope the Mayan in. I don't know.
What about like a gymnasium or something like that? You know, like the school. I mean, it seems like that's the type of thing that would be
tough
big
without
enough.
The liquor license.
But can they see? That's the complicating factor is the drink part of the drink boxing.
Think a sports bar.
Maybe a sports bar.
Sports bar.
Maybe, because they
have some that are big enough.
I imagine. Yeah. I imagine there. Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. And let's say good morning to Sylvester. Hi, Sylvester.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you know, I want to help. I want to help these guys, you know, do the boxing thing because it's very important to me.
Okay.
Wait, what Sylvester is this that's on the line? It seems like I recognize your voice.
It's not important, you know. I'm just trying to, you know, because fighters fight.
They do that, yeah.
And these two guys, you know, they're trying to go for it.
Okay.
You know, they're trying to take their shot.
Right.
And I believe, you know, you take a shot.
Right.
You could be somebody, you know?
Uh-huh, right.
So I want to help these two guys be somebody.
Okay, how do you plan on helping us?
Well, I got a gym, you know.
You have a gym, okay.
My friend Mickey, when he died, left it for me.
That's not...
And so I figured to come down, you know.
Sylvester...
Put on the gloves and, you know, take your best shot.
That's just a...
You gotta take a shot in life, you know?
Yeah. Right,
or else
but
you can't,
I think...
You know, fighters fight.
They do fight, yeah.
Look, you know, I never asked you to stop being a woman.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm asking you, please. Don't ask me to stop being a man.
Sylvester, Adrian's not here. She's dead, too. And all of this stuff that you're talking about just happened in a movie. It's not going to help us in real life. We can't go to some fantasy film location to do this.
Oh, you don't like my gym? Well, my gym stinks?
You don't have a gym.
You don't like my gym?
Sylvester.
All right, I'll fight the fight.
No.
I don't care. I'll fight the fight.
No, it's
legs
not.
Legs are going. Everything's going. No, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. I'll fight the fight. Adrian! Okay.
Right now, 7:54. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Last night, the 49th annual Grammy Awards were given out. It started off with the Police reuniting on stage and looking and sounding great. It ended up with Don Henley being wheeled out on stage, and he announced the winning album of the year.
Yes! The Grammy for Album of the Year goes to the Dixie Chicks.
Yes!
That's a wee bit disrespectful to the other best album nominees. You know, people were sitting in the audience thinking they might have a chance.
Why didn't Don just say, I hate George Bush! Yes! Dixie Chicks won 5 awards. Let's see, what were they? Album of the Year, Most Annoying Acceptance Speech of the Year.
Most Annoying Lead Singer.
Song of the Year, Record of the Year.
Most Hateable Lead Singer.
Best New Artist went to Carrie Underwood.
Yeah. By the way, no one told me she was so hot.
She's so hot.
She has hottened up.
I don't watch
since
that
her American
show,
Idol
but
days.
She seems smoking hot.
Yeah, good looking broad.
She's a gooder. She was one of the thanking God people last night. There weren't very many of them last night, but I did notice she was on.
Dude, she gave Jesus her wheel, for God's sake.
What do you expect her to do?
She had no choice.
Best female pop vocal performance went to Christina Aguilera, who looked very orange last night.
Very bright orange.
Best male pop vocal performance was John Mayer for Waiting for the World to Change. Best pop performance by a duo or group, Black Eyed Peas, My Humps. Finally, My Humps getting some street cred there.
How about that?
Best pop collaboration with vocals. For Once in My Life, Tony Bennett and Stevie Wonder remaking his song from 37 years ago.
Yeah, that was questionable at best.
Best rock performance by a duo or group, Danny California, Red Hot Chili Peppers. They also won for best rock song with the same. Best hard rock performance, Woman, Wolf Mother. I was glad to see them pick something up.
Yeah.
Best metal performance went to Slayer.
Oh!
Eyes of the Insane.
I saw that. I was like, Mike's going to be so happy.
Apparently. And congratulations to our pal Lewis Black, who won for Best Comedy Album of the Year for his Carnegie Hall performance.
He beat out Weird Al?
Yes, and rightly
Mother
so.
Mother effer!
Rightly so. That
I am
hilarious.
Writing a strongly worded letter.
That'll help.
Didn't know until the memorial section of the awards last night that Gerald Levert had passed away. give my condolences to the whole Levert family.
He's one of Kevin's favorites, you know.
I know. When he died, he had a combination of Vicodin, Percocet, and Darbocet in his bloodstream. That's why he's one of Kevin's favorites right there. That's all I got to say.
Didn't it crack you up last night to see Kevin once again behind the mic as the voice of the Grammys? Because he is the keeper of the flame. He's the guy that keeps rock and roll moving because he loves all that music.
Yeah. I was thinking every time he said a name, he's like, oh, hates him. He hates him. He hates them.
Kevin's so excited to be reading about Stephen Sondheim right now on
hates
the TV.
Them. Val, Joan Baez. Hates her. Hates them. Hates her. Hates her. Hates her. Hates him. Hates them.
That's but what I'm thinking. But I liked this band, and yet I had to say,
no, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
So even the band I like. By the way, lead singer CeeLo is the captain of Love Boat. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did notice that. They were dressed as pilots last night.
And Danger Mouse is Screech. Pretty sure.
Weekend's top movies at the box office. Norbit coming in at number one by far, making almost $34 million this weekend.
Hey, man, Adam. Hey.
Hi.
God, I love me some Norbit. Hannibal Rising, number two at the box office, made only $13.4 million. Because I Said So was number three, then The Messengers, Night at the Museum, epic movie, Smokin' Aces, Pan's Labyrinth, Dreamgirls, and The Queen, rounding out your top ten at the box office. I think The Queen getting a little boost at the box office with all the awards that it's winning. People are checking out to see what that's all about. Britney Spears has lesbian slumber parties.
Oh. She is gizzy.
That's if you you believe the friends of K-Fed, who have spilled the beans to In Touch magazine, saying that Britney indulged in many homosexual parties. She'd invite some girlfriends over for a night of fun and have them sleep over at the house. K-Fed's friends say it occurred over 20 times during the marriage between K-Fed and Britney Spears.
Fantastic.
The source on this, K-Fed's friend, Omar the Iceman Sharif. Wasn't it Omar Sharif the guy who starred in Dr. Zhivago?
Yeah, yes, that was the guy.
I didn't know they were calling him the Iceman these days.
I think it's got to be a different guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's the same guy. I think K-Fed and Omar Sharif, 85-year-old actor Omar Sharif, are hanging out.
Was K-Fed just not getting the job done, so she had to lick elsewhere? What? What's
she
the
had
story
to lick
here
elsewhere? What?
Yeah, look, I said
oh,
look.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Don't you understand? She's a lesbian.
Yes, she is. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joanna Kearns, who played Maggie, the mom, on Growing Pains, 54 years old today. Christina Ricci.
Oh.
From many, many feature films, like the Addams Family movies, and the Sleepy Hollow.
Snake Rising Moaning.
Black Trouser Snake.
Whatever that is.
She's got that coming out with Samuel L. Jackson. She's 27 years old today. And Arsenio Hall.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
They sure do. And the people wish him a happy 52nd birthday today.
Yes, they do.
Ooh, ooh. I'm rough.
Ooh, ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
That may be the gayest clip we have.
The gayest thing I ever said to Arsenio Hall, that's for sure. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Everybody at the station, I just found out, is obsessed with the same show. And I just heard about it the end of last week. Future Weapons, it's called, with new episodes Monday nights at 9 on the Discovery Channel. It does sound awesome, and I'm going to check it out tonight. The host of the program, Richard Makowicz, on the line with us right now. I'll just call you Mac. Hey, Mac, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
How you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
Sure. We're excited. I just, as I said when I brought you on, I just found out that everybody on this show loves your program and just can't wait to see what's next.
Oh, that's fantastic. I feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
It's really, it's a bizarre show because for people that haven't seen it yet, it is about future weapons. That's the name of the program. And you see stuff that you didn't think they had the capability
it
of doing
be
yet.
It could be possible.
Yeah.
It's like magic.
They can't really mass produce it yet, right, because of costs.
Well, there are cost prohibitive measures right now, but a lot of stuff is either just got to the battlefield, about to come to the battlefield, or maybe 10 years away from getting to the battlefield.
Yeah, this is the sort of stuff, let's face it, anytime they introduce a new weapon, you know it has been worked on for a decade, at least before it's available and out in the field for people to use. There was a demonstration not too long ago I saw on the actual news, not on your show, about this this heat ray, this thing that you can shoot at people and make them feel like they're on fire. That's the kind of weapon you feature on Future Weapons, right?
Yep, the active denial system. As a matter of fact, we're doing a story on that right now.
Isn't that one, because I think I read about that in Newsweek, too, and isn't that one that you really are very, very close to putting out there in the market?
It is actually, they've got prototypes that are ready, they want to send overseas. It sends out this millimeter wave that actually heats up below the surface of the skin to about 130 degrees, but it doesn't cause injury. It doesn't cause, it just causes really intense discomfort.
You think you're going to burst into flames.
So basically, they're out in the battlefield, and they say,
yeah.
I am so hot right now. I'm too hot. I need to cool down.
It makes people jump up in the air.
It basically makes you run like a girl.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it because it's non-lethal.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're in the Navy SEALs, and you've got all these black belts, and you're just you're a macho man who really just gets excited by seeing all this new technology, huh, Mac?
Oh, it's incredible. This stuff is great. I mean, I got the best job ever. I get to go around the world shooting big guns, flying in incredible aircraft, and blowing things up. What boy would not be happy with that?
Yeah, that does sound like a dream gig right there. Yeah. Here's a little clip from the show.
This is a clever weapon.
Its sighting scope allows you to follow the grenade to the target and immediately adjust before delivering a lethal payload of 40-millimeter grenades without ever taking your eyes off the target.
40-millimeter grenades come in all shapes and sizes. This is the 433. It's a high-explosive fragmentation grenade. It's the standard round that you use most of the time with a 40-millimeter grenade launcher. This is the Hellhound.
Come on. Listen to how excited he is.
This is the Hellhound.
Hey, Mac, how much do you understand or try to understand the science behind these weapons?
I am definitely interested in the science behind it because that's really what's allowing us to do the things that we're going to be able to do on the battlefield tomorrow. And if this is really a science and technology show, what advantages do you get with science and technology?
Right.
And the answers are really simple. Increased accuracy, minimizing collateral damage, and you get your guys back in one piece.
Speaking of that, my whole life I've been hearing about, ever since Star Trek, I've been hearing about antimatter weapons. Is that something that they're still working on, or is that something they've decided can never really be attained for real life?
Well, you know what? I know there's all kinds of interesting things that are coming as far as that kind of stuff. I really don't have the front line info. You know, if I told you, I think we know the consequences.
Of course, yeah. Is it difficult to get the government? I assume it's the U.S. government that's developing most of these weapons, or am I wrong about that? Is it mostly private enterprise?
Well, I think you've got a combination of both. I think you've never seen in the history of developing weapons where government, defense contractors, and the military are working so diligently together to get the best product into the warfighter's hands.
Mm-hmm. Is it tough to get them to give a sneak peek on some of the stuff that's not ready for the battlefield yet? I mean, isn't there some sort of strategic advantage with our enemies to not kind of tip our hand as to what's coming next?
That's a really smart question. This is the answer. Yes, they're very concerned about it. Yes, they want to make sure that they're not giving away too much in the way of tactical or strategic use. But there are things that you definitely want the people to know, things that are coming. You want the soldiers to know new things are coming into your hands that you're going to be able to use. They're going to make a difference for you and your buddies out there in the field.
Tell us about the electronic pulse bomb or whatever they call that.
The EMP?
Yeah.
The EMP, basically, what it does is it since we have all this microcircuitry everywhere, the EMP basically goes in there and disrupts almost any kind of microcircuit. So all of a sudden, now your computer or your radio or whatever you were trying to use before no longer works.
Anything electronic in what kind of a radius?
Well, it depends on the size of that pulse. Depends on the size of the pulse, but guys are using it for like patrol stops where they can short circuit something on a vehicle that's a little more high tech.
Oh, I see.
But they're also coming up with just amazing things. One of the things we've done was the LRAD, which is a long-range acoustic device. Basically takes and focuses sound almost like a laser beam.
I was just going to ask you about that because I saw that episode, and it's like a giant square of, I don't know, looks like tile or something.
Yeah.
And it's so focused that when you're just outside of the focus, you can barely hear it. And then when you get right in the focus, it's so blaringly loud that it's painful.
It's the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life, and it was definitely painful.
And you are a long way away from this. How could they use this on the field? Is it just a distraction?
Well, one, you could use it as a distraction. It's actually been used when the pirates tried to board that vessel down around the coast of Africa. They had an LRAD on there, and actually it so disrupted what they wanted to do that they decided to disengage and get the heck out of there.
Plus, they can't communicate.
Yeah.
To each other.
It's so loud.
I mean, you can't hold something if your fingers are in your ears. You can't probably fire the gun.
How far can you focus that sound? What's the range on that?
They can do incredible things. I'm like a mile away. It's incredible how far they can reach out with that thing.
Wow.
At least a mile or more.
This is Richard Mackiewicz on the line right now talking about future weapons, new episode on Discovery tonight at 9. I got two more questions for you, Mac.
Sure.
One is, have you seen anything new in the wonderful world of jetpacks on your show?
Pete is obsessed with jetpacks since he was a kid.
You know what? I can understand that. I am kind of obsessed with jetpacks as well. I'm really looking forward to them. But I don't think they've got them just yet.
They've been promising us that forever, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They've been working on that thing forever. And they're trying to get them so they don't explode on the guy's back.
Yeah, I guess that's important.
Yeah. Well, and my last question is, you know, we're living in scary times where, you know, so many countries, it seems like, are developing the bomb and working on other technology. Are other countries also making breakthroughs in weapons? Advances, or is the United States still pretty much leading the way in terms of the technology that we bring to the battlefield?
I think what you're looking at is because we have bigger budgets, we have a bigger force, we have a lot of that development happening here. But the UK is doing great work. The Germany is doing great work. Sweden, Switzerland. We just came back from a big run from overseas where you get a chance to see that kind of stuff.
I thought you just said Switzerland. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't know when the last time was they made a breakthrough in war.
Exactly.
The Swiss, man, they're leading the way on that.
They're just planning to sell it. They're not planning to
okay.
use it.
All right.
I gotcha.
Just check it.
Well, it sounds like an awesome show for those of us who haven't checked it out yet. Future Weapons is the program. Monday nights, that's tonight at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. I think you're right. Haven't talked to you, man. I think you may have the best job on television. I'm glad you joined us this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you guys so much. And
thanks,
if I
Mac.
Can mention one thing yeah. about Ready, Aim, Future. It's an interactive website for Discovery for the show.
Okay.
Please ask people to come by, and if you got ideas, let us know.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you, Mac.
Thank you so much for your time.
So the Grammys were last night, and... I'd just like to send out a message to James Blunt and Justin Timberlake, who are trying to straddle the I might be growing a beard, I might not fence. Choose, fellas, choose.
One or the other.
Either
grow or don't. You know, make up your minds.
This James Blunt, by the way, we've talked about him a little bit off the air today. I'm having trouble with because you got to hate him on because he's a geek and he sings that terrible You're Beautiful song. You got to hate him. But then you
got
to go.
He's got the bug eyes, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's got the bug eyes, too. Something wrong with his eyes. But then you also got to go, but he went to Afghanistan and killed a bunch of guys in the British Special Services and he's banging Petra Nemkova, my favorite model. So how do you not love the dude?
I mean, I can't put those things together. The guy that sings You're Beautiful is not a Special Forces guy. That's got to be one of those rumors.
He's a trained killer.
No, he really he's not.
Is. Yes.
Did you see him? You're beautiful. Shut up. God.
There was a, by the way, we're going to have some highlights of Joan and Melissa Rivers coming up after 9 on the red carpet. There was a about a 60-second span where Petra Nemkova came by, who just couldn't look lovelier. The palm tree diet was so effective. And Scarlett Johansson both came by like almost one right after another. And it was, I was envious of you for just 1 second, Kevin, for being there in person. Anyway, the highlight of the show, the two highlights were the bookends, of course, because the show opened with, it was no surprise, of course, that the police were getting back together. And it's been a long time since we've seen them perform on TV together, and they sounded great.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the police, and we're back! Roxanne.
Sting, by the way.
You don't have to put
the only guy that can pull off a vest without a shirt now?
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. I mean, he totally has the rock and roll haircut now, and he was doing the windmills and everything. I mean, this is not the same guy who's been singing the crappy lute music for the last 20 years. You know what I mean?
He's sick of it. He's got to be. That's bad music.
It seemed like he was really, and the audience just went berserk, too. I mean, there were a few standing ovations last night. I know Mary got one, but didn't you think, I mean, the police, that's the way to start off.
I just wanted them to play more. They played one short version of Roxanne and moved on. I was like, hey, how about a few of your other hits?
Yeah, absolutely.
There weren't a lot of surprises on the show. They did a pretty good job of advertising most of their performances. That one that was not announced at all, even though they had the world's greatest announcer standing by who could have brought her on, was Christina Aguilera when she just appeared on the stage, came up out of the floor to do a tribute to James Brown. And it's so funny because you're watching Christina. And you see all these wannabes on shows like American Idol, even the ones who end up in the top 10.
Yeah.
And none of them can sing like Christina Aguilera.
Remember when she and Britney were like East Coast, West Coast feuding? Remember like who's going to be more popular? Who's going to have a better career, whatever?
Who can really sing?
She really can sing, it turns out.
She's the real deal. Yeah. And I thought that was a great tribute, the way they did it, too. And an unusual choice, obviously, to sing a song called It's a Man's World. But then they had the video of James Brown from the Tammy Show and that unbelievable dancing. And I guess they had Chris Brown come out and kind of duplicate that dancing on stage. It was, you know, for a change on a television awards show, it was actually kind of an understated tribute. It wasn't like they usually do with these things where they bludgeon you over the head for 30 minutes. I mean, it was kind of on and gone, and it seemed like a classy tribute. I thought they did a nice job with that.
You know that that singer Corinne Bailey Ray that I can't say?
Yes. You can't say, yeah.
Forgot her lyrics, by the way. I don't know if anyone noticed
when, she was singing Like a Star, she
did the rehearsal, and the song was like twice as long. And then during the song on the show, she was like, la, 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 la. And she went right to the end. She did like half of her song. She forgot it.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? You've got the Grammy spotlight and you forget your own song.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
That rules.
Kevin was in the booth. We played some of his work earlier, but I had to ask you about this because at one point in the show, you it sounded like you got replaced, like they brought somebody in to replace you. And I wanted to play this for you and ask what happened.
Tonight, Stephen Sondheim, Estelle Axton, and Cosimo Matassa.
By the way, are there any three people that Kevin is more excited about reading tributes to?
Yeah.
How many takes was that?
100.
They come to you to do Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah.
You, not Lisa.
Yeah, I know.
Are the Academy's Trustees Award honorees.
All right, so he does that, and then all of a sudden, who's this guy?
The voting is closed. And in just a few minutes, America will meet the first ever My Grammy Moment winner as she comes to the stage to sing with Justin Timberlake.
I got to tell you, that guy makes
that
you
guy
sound
rules.
Good.
I know he does.
Well, who is he?
The thing
from?
About that guy is that's the guy who shows me how to do the timing. So we listen to him, and then I do it for real. And that was just a mistake. They just left that guy on.
Well, why doesn't that guy do it?
I don't know. He's clearly better than I am.
He's showing you how to do the timing.
Yeah, like he does it for timing. He's like, they call it the scratch voiceover or whatever. He's the guy who kind of just shows you what it's supposed to be like.
I laughed out loud when I heard him pop up on the screen. Yeah. I thought, oh my God, they fired Kevin in the middle of the show. I thought it's like Andy Dick on Kimmel last week. They're pulling him out by his feet right now to try to get him out of the booth.
Yeah, that was just a mistake.
So this guy goes on with my final clip for right now.
And the Red Hot Chili Peppers performance everyone will be talking about tomorrow. Right here on CBS.
Let me just say to the folks who hype up the Grammys every year, just because you've got confetti doesn't mean everybody's going to be talking about it the next day. We've all seen confetti. Look, we've all been to a parade. We know that paper can come from the sky.
There was a lot of it, though.
But that
have you ever seen that much?
Was it more than ever before ever on any award show ever?
I believe so.
Okay, then.
It was a lot of confetti, Lisa. I'm not taking away from how much paper was dropped. I'm just saying that it was an okay Red Hot Chili Peppers performance. I'm happy for them. I know they won a bunch of Grammys. I was happy they got to perform on the show. There wasn't much rock. But it wasn't, I mean, they weren't shooting midgets out of a cannon, you know? They weren't lighting themselves on fire. It was just confetti.
It was just confetti. I mean, that is hard to argue.
That's all it was.
It was a lot of paper falling from the sky. Is what it was.
It's not the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen on television. But all in all, thanks to the performances, I thought it was a real good show last night.
My performance or just the other performances?
No, not yet.
Well, obviously accepting your performance.
Yeah. Okay. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:37.
Wow, I like your new music, Kevin. That's awesome. I feel like I'm driving really fast.
Not really mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's NASCAR time. I guess the Carl Edwards joining us in the studio, first of all, the world famous Karen. Hey, Carl.
What's going on?
I guess the deal is that yesterday was the pole qualifying for the Daytona 500, and that's the kickoff. That race is kind of the kickoff of the season. Is that how it works?
Oh, yeah. That's the first race of the season. It's really our Super Bowl. I mean, it's...
Wait a minute. How can it be your Super Bowl and the first race of the season?
Exactly. It's different. But it is. It's the first race of the season. And, man, it was... My Office Depot Fusion was slow at qualifying, so I'm still trying to get past that. We qualified like 50th or something. It's like
50th.
I don't know how that works, but
somebody from Office Depot get on the phone and go, "Hey, Carl, 50? Really?
Yeah, we got too many pens and pencils in the back or something."
Well, you need an easy button, dude. That's what you need.
No. It's the beginning of the season, and it should be a lot of fun. I mean, it's a Daytona 500. You know, I think we'll race better than.
Let me ask you this though, because it seems like, and again, I'm not going to try to pass myself off as a hardcore NASCAR fan that follows every minute of the races. But it seems like the sport has gotten so big and expanded so much that the season has also expanded. It almost seems like it's year round for you guys. It doesn't seem like you get much time off like you used to.
No, it is year round, and but man, it's fun. I mean, I 5 years ago I just dreamed of being able to do this. You know what I mean? And now I get to race.
How do you get into it? Being a driver. How did you do it?
My dad owns a car repair shop, a little Volkswagen repair shop in Columbia, Missouri. And so I'd go work at the garage. He raced at the local racetracks on the weekends. And I started racing with him. And I'd watch it on TV and stuff. And I thought, man, it'd be cool to make a living at this.
Sure would be fun to do that for a living.
Yeah. And careful what you wish for. And it's crazy. I'm very lucky. I run the Busch Series full time and the Cup Series and running some trucks. So like 75 races a year. But yeah, there's not much of an off season, but it's cool. I really love it.
75 races a year.
It's a lot.
Now, besides the time that you're behind the wheel, which I'm sure is the most fun, and that's why you do it, and that's what you got into it for, Are you surprised at how much else there is to do representing NASCAR now? I mean, it does seem like you guys really spend a lot of time with the publicity and the various personal appearances and events. And we're going to talk about a way people can come and meet you here in a minute. But, I mean, you that's where you spend a majority of your time, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Unreal. I mean, I qualified yesterday. I ran two laps, you know, at Daytona.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jumped out of the car. Police escort over to the airport. They fired up a NASCAR jet. Flew me all the way here.
Why don't you fly a jet if NASCAR has a jet, for God's sakes? You're driving a car.
Yeah,
seems like that's much slower.
Yeah,
flying around the track.
My car was much slower than the jet, but we, you know, and then came here, went to some Grammy parties and stuff last night, and then we're doing all this stuff today for the Speedway, and it just it like never stops. And but man, it's all
life.
Fun. Well, it's better. It's better than the life I used to have.
Yes. Man.
Working on cars in your dad's garage.
Yeah.
Now, where are you going to be today? You're going to be from noon to one today at the California Speedway, right?
Yeah, we'll be there, and it's they're calling it a Valentine's Day ticket promotion. And
you a single guy?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right.
He's quick to mention that, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Come on out, ladies.
What is it?
Because you said Valentine's, so I figured, hey, you know, you might as well.
Mitch Hedberg said, "Yeah, I'm single, but I know a girl who'd be mad I said that." So,
right. Exactly.
I'll be there, and the first 200 fans that purchase tickets to the race in 2 weeks, so we're going to give them a pound of See's candy, which.
A pound of See's candy.
That
sounds good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Health is important. The first 200 people.
Yes, so we'll be meeting people out there, and it'll be fun.
Noon to one, that's today at the California Speedway. How's California treating you? We've had other drivers in before, and they've said the sport has just exploded in Southern California. Have you sensed that as well, Carl?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing. The fans are cool here, you know, it's a sport that, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, and we went to the local dirt tracks and all that stuff. And it seems like out here people are really open-minded, you know what I mean? They see the sport a little differently. And
how do they see it differently?
I don't know. It's just like they come kind of for the spectacle of it, you know what I mean? They see it from that maybe like the outside in more than the folks who are like growing up, you know, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I mean, I grew up, you know, working on my dad's dirt car, you know what I mean? And you get people at the Speedway. I meet people there who've never seen a race, and they're like, whoa. Like, this is amazing.
Right, well, and this is your whole life, right?
Yeah, and it's like, man, I've been doing this for my whole life. But it is really fun to meet the fans like that and to see fans who look at it differently. I love that.
What period of time did it just explode? Like, the UFC, for example, has just gone out of its mind here in Southern California. Why did that happen with NASCAR? Why did it happen so big?
I don't know. I think, man, I like the UFC, by the way. I train with these guys, these cage fighters or mixed martial arts fighters this summer or this winter. That's like the toughest thing in the world.
Train with them so that you can drive?
Well, for a week. I try to stay fit and everything. And my buddy said, you think you're in shape? You need to go train with these guys. And let me tell you, they're in shape.
But yeah.
I think racing's a lot, kind of parallels that. And then it's something that's kind of crazy. It's different. It's really, you know, it's fast.
Yeah,
it's thrilling.
It's interesting. If you're just joining us, Carl Edwards is in the studio with us right now. He, of course, is a driver for NASCAR. And the Auto Club 500 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series is coming up on Sunday, February 25th at the California Speedway that we're talking about out there in Fontana, californiaspeedway.com. You talk about being in shape. And I think part of the reason that there are people who never got into racing is because they think, how tough is it to drive?
Yeah.
Guy's sitting on his ass for 4 hours. You know what I mean? But you think it makes a real difference being physically fit when you get behind the wheel. You really think that helps you, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean that. It's the 500 part of these races that gets you.
That's the long part?
Yeah, the Auto Club 500. Yeah. It's like 4 hours in the car, and sometimes it's like 130 or 150 degrees. And
I'm sorry, 150 degrees.
Yeah, that's what they tell me, and it feels like 190.
Bad.
So it's just crazy. And staying in shape. I mean, it really seems to help out a little bit. And, man, I'm telling you, the folks out there, and I know there's a lot of them, they say, race car drivers aren't athletes, and that's easy. Just go over to the track and take the Richard Petty driving experience and just drive like three laps. It's unbelievable. It's so much fun.
Really?
I love it, yeah. It's crazy.
Have you ever made or received a cell phone call while you're in a race?
No, I sometimes take my cell phone with me when we're testing, when I sit in the car for a long time. But no, I've never made or received it would be a Sprint Nextel call.
Would it?
Of course it would. Yeah, certainly.
That was smooth right there.
That's what NASCAR needs is more sponsor opportunities, by the way.
Let me plug that.
Do you eat at all when you're driving?
Yeah, I do. They made a little basket thing for me because you get hungry about 2 hours in, you know.
They don't make you
really?
A basket.
They don't make like a basket in the sense that there's like, you know,
like fancy wrapping
and jelly and
Jesus, right? What do they put in your basket?
They put a Cliff Bar or two in there.
Okay,
those are,
all right.
You know, once in a while.
I know you get asked this all the time, Carl. Please forgive me. I have to. Do you pee in a bottle?
No, no, I don't pee in a bottle. That would be way too hard to do.
You guys probably, I mean, you can hydrate all you want, but you're sweating it all off, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you do. You sweat a lot of it off and, you know, and
you've had to come up against racing your whole life.
Yeah.
Desperation to go to the bathroom.
Right. And I've learned lately in the media that they have diapers and stuff for that.
Astronaut diapers.
Astronaut diapers.
That's right. That is the answer. All right. So you, so basically, those just joining us, Carl Edwards is going to be at the California Speedway ticket office today from noon till 1. You're going to be selling tickets for the Auto Club 500, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. The first 200 fans that buy a ticket from you get a coupon for a free pound of See's candy. And you're basically just looking for chicks today. You're just looking to just pound your way into oblivion, right?
It's a pound of candy. Man, it's a pound of candy.
That's what it is. All right.
But Carl is a single and on the way up. And again, the Auto Club 500 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series is going to be Sunday, February 25th.
I do want to ask him one more question, and that is, I see in the event summary a week from Sunday that Kevin Costner is going to be the Grand Marshal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't expect you to speak for him, but it says here Kevin will energize fans when he performs live with the Kevin Costner Band.
Oh, dear God,
you know
no.
And I read,
have you heard him?
No.
Have
I
you heard
just,
him?
I just read about that, and... I don't know. I'm kind of I'm curious to
the
see.
The Kevin Costner band.
It could be good.
Curious.
It could be good.
Could be.
It probably will be.
And yeah.
It probably will be.
Yeah, and I could win the race, too, Carl. Both of those things could happen, I guess, technically.
I'm sure
sorry,
Kevin's
Carl,
a good dude.
We don't mean to get you in trouble, but come
no,
on.
No. Hey,
for God's sake.
You never know, man.
Kevin
could
Costner
be.
Band. Yes, you do.
You guys still play his music here?
No, God, no. No.
I can't wait. Now I'm definitely too dead. Carl, you seem like a good dude, man, and we wish you nothing but success with the Daytona and also with this this event that's coming up at the California Speedway, too. It's great to meet you, seriously.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having
thanks
me.
Thanks for coming in. You can watch it a week from Sunday on Fox, too, if you're not going to go out there. Thanks, Carl.
Cool.
Bye.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, you got...
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's why they keep hiring you back at the Grammys, man. They hear the kind of work you do every morning here on K-Rock. It's 8:54 Monday morning. Francisco Bautista from Cerritos is going to be enjoying Incubus at the Wiltern tomorrow night. We'll have tickets for you all this week, plus more chances for you to win Fall Out Boy tickets for their upcoming shows on the way, too. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Best part about Kevin on the Grammys is you would never know it's him. Because he never sounds like that any other time in his life except when he's hosting the Grammys.
That's true.
Just perma smile the whole time. Oh, well, they look, it's Clairol. Are you worth it?
Yeah.
Just nothing but just smiles.
I can't
good
do L'Oreal.
Times.
Just happy, happy, happy.
You generally hate all the other people who do that same sort of announcing on television.
I hate me more than I hate them.
Why do you keep going back to the whipping post there?
I find it fascinating to see all the behind the scenes that goes on with the, you know. Well,
maybe you can be an intern or something. You can get a day pass and just walk around the soundstage.
Just do it quietly?
Yeah, just so bad.
Well, you certainly regale us with lots of wonderful stories when you come back from those weekends.
That's true.
Oh, wait, we don't learn anything from how it was.
No.
Off the air.
Let's give away some tickets to the world premiere of Reno 911 Miami, the movie. Shall we?
Yes, let's do.
It's the world premiere. It's going to be at the Grauman's Chinese Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood Thursday, February the 15th. That's this Thursday. If you'd like to go, I've got five pairs of tickets to the first five callers. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now, and if you're one of the first five callers to get through and wake up the King of Mexico, you get a pair of those tickets.
Good luck.
Please enjoy. Speaking of movies, Norbit, number one at the box office. Hate to tell you, say I told you so, but I told you so.
Iron Man, Adam. Hey!
America recognized the inherent humor of Eddie Murphy in a fat suit and went in droves. $33.7 million in its debut weekend.
Wow.
That bested the second place film by about $20 million. Hannibal Rising made about $13.4 million at the box office. Because I... go ahead.
It is funny that you're the only person I know who was excited about seeing Norbit. Yet you didn't even go and contribute to the $34 million.
No.
They still have your business still to come this week.
That's right. They'll be making even more money when I go four or five times this week.
Iron Man, Adam. Hey.
Hey.
He does say hey.
Because I said so was number three. The Messengers was four. Night at the Museum was number five. Epic Movie six. Smoking Aces, Pan's Labyrinth, Dreamgirls, and The Queen rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. By now, you've probably heard that the Florida coroner has completed a preliminary autopsy on Anna Nicole Smith and says that there is nothing evident to reveal as of yet the cause of why she died. He said he found some subtle findings in her heart and gastrointestinal system, but the investigation would take 3 to 5 more weeks to be wrapped up to explain why she had such a sudden, unexpected death. He did say, however, there were no illegal drugs in her system. Apparently some prescription drugs were found.
in her system, as well as her hotel room. No illegal drugs in her hotel room either, as originally reported. So we're not quite sure what happened there.
I think probably natural causes then.
You think?
Sure. Yeah, a lot of people at 39 just dropped dead.
Well, it's, you know, 39's new 80.
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes. We're going to be updating our viewers coming up shortly on...
Can't wait for that.
I love me some Jack Cafferty more than anyone. He is the most crotchety old dude in the news.
I don't know that guy.
You know Jack Cafferty?
No, I don't know him.
He's kind of like CNN's answer to Bill O'Reilly. He kind of does his own little sort of report there, you know, where he talks, has his take on the news.
But who on CNN can say, is she still dead?
He does. He's very cranky and sort of smart-ass.
Never heard of him. Very entertaining. You should check him out, Kevin.
Never heard of him.
Spectacular. More Anna Nicole Smith news. Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, Prince Frederick von Alt, claims he might be the father of the baby.
Sure.
Yeah. Because he said that he had a 10-year affair with Anna Nicole Smith.
Wait a minute. $384 million? Yeah, I'm the father.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, me.
Oh, me, 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 me.
Me.
Father.
I'm Brian. No, I'm Brian. I'm Brian.
We had Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com on earlier today, Ralph. For folks who weren't listening, he also suggested to us that some photos have surfaced. I guess he said it was in the newspaper in the Bahamas of Anna laying on or in the bed with one of the government officials that helped get her residency in that country.
They were just snuggling. It's a whole Bahamian custom thing.
Is that right?
That's how they
you
say hello
snuggle?
Down there. Yeah, just hop on
that.
The bed and snuggle. Huh. Now, a new rumor that she had some sperm frozen from the old daddy.
Yeah?
No.
Smith?
Marshall? The 94-year-old?
Yeah.
No.
And maybe that's where the father for the baby came from.
Yeah!
No. For him, from his spermsicles.
No. That sperm's been dead
for... The spermsicles, by the way. Opening up a Coachella this year.
They're very good.
Yeah.
Will she be buried first or James Brown? What do you think?
Is James Brown still lost, by the way?
They don't know where his body is here.
Still lost.
Hopefully he's in a temperature-controlled environment.
He's still lost, and
He died on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Not yet buried.
The judge on Friday in the Anna Nicole Smith case said that they can't bury her for at least 10 days because of DNA
Nothing.
Yeah, James is already working on a couple of months.
Yeah. James is starting to turn. He's getting a little ripe wherever he is, I'll tell you that much.
Wherever he happens to be.
Yeah. You need that cape of his to waft away the odor coming out of the box that you need. Just start flipping that around.
Do they think that one of the family members has him? I mean, where did he go?
I haven't heard.
They put him someplace
safe. Theory, right?
He's in a safe place.
Who has James Brown?
He's in a meat locker at an Arby's right now somewhere in Florida. What, Psycho Mike? What? Just say what you have to say.
Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Oh, Gene Simmons. I didn't know Gene Simmons was in the room. Hey, Gene.
Funny you said wafting away the odor coming from the box. Lisa May, you might look at it.
Oh, my God.
Why do you encourage him?
It's Gene Simmons. You got to. He's talking.
You don't have to.
See him hang up James's cape on the microphone stand last night. I thought that was kind of a touching tribute.
Was that the guy who toured with James for all these years? The guy who used to do it on stage?
That was the dude.
Of course.
I guess there was some guy that
that was his job. He was the cape wrangler.
Yeah. They need a James Brown wrangler.
That was pretty touching. I liked that a lot. I don't know who the kid was doing the James Brown impersonation dancing after the clip. I didn't know what that was all about.
That Chris Brown dude. I'm not positive.
I think so too.
Is that who it was?
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, if we knew an announcer at the Grammys,
just tell us what's going on there.
Somebody who says he does it because he likes seeing all the behind the scenes stuff. Maybe this is where that information would come in handy.
Any info? No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley. Oh.
I think it was Chris Brown, or maybe it was a guy who worked the craft service table. He might have been cutting bagels.
Right,
I'm not sure.
Were you there at all, Kevin? Did you even go to Staples Center?
I'm told I was.
Okay.
Yes.
And new romance in Hollywood blossoming. Nicole Richie is reportedly moving in with Joel Madden.
Joel Madden.
Yeah. Oh. Joel really? Madden from Bad Charlotte?
Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
Yes,
Good Charlotte fame of the band.
Wow.
In Touch magazine reports that the two have only been dating for 10 weeks, and yet they're already setting up house together. Friends are concerned it might be a little soon for Nicole, since she just split up from DJ AM, and Joel just broke it off with Hillary Duff in November, so the kids might be moving a little fast, but hey, they don't care. They're in love. What do we know?
They're outlaws.
Hillary Duff, by the way, I see why Joel left her. Why? How did she get so unattractive so quick? What happened?
She got her teeth fixed, by the way.
You were obsessed with her for a while, weren't you?
She was just adorable. Could not be cuter. And now she weighs about 4 pounds.
Oh, she lost all the weight?
She's all bones, and she's got the giant chiclet teeth, and she's a brunette now. Just everything. Yeah. Now she just looks like a homely co-ed. That's what she looks like.
It's almost like there was a checklist.
By the way.
There was a checklist of all the things Ralph found attractive about her, and then one by one, she just eliminated them.
Curvy, voluptuous, bosoms and hips.
Blonde.
Gone. Nice smile. Yeah. Now, giant chiclet teeth, brunette, no boobs, skinny.
I think she went back in, though, and had the giant chiclet teeth taken out.
She
had
them shaved down or something.
I think she did, yes.
Finally.
Give her some cedar to gnaw on. Like
it's possible.
When you have a pet rabbit so they can grind those down for a while. Yeah.
I think they just take carrots out to her stall every night.
Oh, that's good. Because, you know, those teeth will grow right through your jaw if you don't get them taken care of.
It's a real danger.
Remember that from my rabbit raising days. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joanna Kearns from Maggie Seaver. Not from Maggie Seaver. She played Maggie Seaver on Growing Pains. She's 54 years old today. Christina Ricci, one of our favorite actresses. She looked good last night at the Grammys, didn't she?
She could afford to eat a salad or two herself, though. I mean, she could gain a pound.
Back, remember the day when she was kind of curvy, too?
Yeah, I like she's a little skinny.
Yeah.
Are we the only ones that don't like the skin and bones?
I don't think anybody does but them. They all seem to do it for themselves. I don't know where the pressure comes from, the fashion world or something, but I don't know any guy who prefers that look.
If they have a few pounds on and you take a picture and it doesn't look good, then everyone says, oh, they're too fat.
But can't we split the difference so they have to go right to Ethiopia?
Christina Ricci in The Opposite of Sex is where I fell deeply in love with her. She was very curvaceous back then. Yes. Yeah,
good stuff.
Looked fantastic.
She's 27 years old today. Ed Lover. Remember Ed Lover? Yeah. Radio's Ed Lover.
Oh, sure.
He celebrates his 44th birthday today. And Arsenio Hall.
Ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
He is looking good. You make fun of me.
Look, I hear you. It's just bad.
How do
I miss the days when you both were doing the Grammys? That's what I was.
He's just smart enough to have stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Why give him more ammo? You know. How do you think the people feel about Arsenio Hall these days, Ralph? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I'll have to go to the tape.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you, Arsenio
Hall, folks. The people love him.
Oh, that's right. People love him.
By the way, shame on Arsenio for you keep rocking too. He's no better.
Look,
Arsenio's 52 years old today, and the people love him.
They do.
Ooh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So I don't know how it happened, but I turned on the TV a little after 3 o'clock yesterday on the TV Guide channel, and Joan and Melissa Rivers were doing the red carpet for the Grammy Awards.
You're drawn to it, like you know, you're driving the wrong way on the freeway, and somebody's in an accident on the other side. You have to slow down and look at it.
Yep. That's...
And I regret to say that I missed the first couple of minutes of the show, but I have been told that Joan Rivers opened her portion of the red carpet coverage with a rap where she was singing or rapping with some dancers. And I did not see that part of the show.
Oh, my God.
But she does make a reference to it a couple of times throughout the rest of the day. But Joan and Melissa have been doing this red carpet thing, and they get millions of dollars per year. And I guess it's successful. I don't know if it's because people are looking past them just to tune in to see what folks are wearing on the red carpet. But somehow they keep bringing Joan back for all the shows, and she's going to be doing the Oscars again. And I just brought in a little bit of tape of what you may have missed from yesterday's telecast.
And hello, friends. I am Joan Rivers.
And right there, by the way, you hear that voice and you go, how can anyone listen to that for 2 hours?
It's horrifying.
It's fingernails on a chalkboard.
It is.
Yeah.
And this is a nice girl. Hello, nice girl with brown hair. She looks a lot like Melissa. She's rolling her eyes the way Melissa rolls her eyes. But I don't think you are Melissa. What was the name of your blanket?
Mom, it is me.
Oh, easy for you to say. Are you sure? I can't be too careful. You know, Melissa, what's going on. I have a crazy astronaut stalking me. Can we get a shot? Are you wearing diapers?
Are you paranoid. Wearing diapers? You are paranoid.
This is on television that people watch, right?
This is the... No one watches it except for you.
No, it's huge. The ratings are huge for this.
No, they're not.
For the TV Guide channel, the ratings are huge for this.
And they pay them millions of dollars.
No, they don't.
Are you telling me this is prepared comedy?
Yes.
No.
This is not off the cuff. This is her chunk on the astronaut diaper wearer.
Oh, Jesus.
The comedy is, I don't recognize my own daughter because she dyed her hair. That's the comedy Joan Rivers is entertaining us with.
I may be paranoid, but oh my God, Melissa, over there! It's Ryan O'Neal, and he's got a gun!
Mom, that's actually Nikki. She's our producer, and she's a pregnant girl.
I think what Joan is trying to do is trying to work in all of the hot stories this week. So she brings up the astronaut, and then she brings up Ryan O'Neal because he had that domestic dispute last week.
But what sense does it even make that, there she is, she's got a gun, she's pregnant? What sense does that make?
None. Not one.
Does she have a gun? Are you wearing diapers?
Not yet.
Me you're wearing diapers.
It is. It's the pressure, isn't it? It is. It's okay. Deep breath. In through the nose, out through the mouth.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
We've heard... 44 seconds so far of a show that went on for 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
So Joan addresses what we're all thinking, which is, this old bag doesn't know anything about music. What is she even doing at the Grammys?
We're at the Grammys, and I understand yet music is not exactly your strong point. So.
You are so wrong. You are so wrong. Let me tell you, attractive daughter, as they like me to call you here, I am an icon. I have musical roots, and they go further back than my hair roots.
Wow, that's long.
All right.
No. This is the hey, let's read it out loud. Okay, that's great. Let's keep that in. That's what this is.
Right.
They didn't throw anything out. Oh, you know God, that. No.
Well, later, and I don't even know if we'll even get to this part of the tape, but she does what she always does, which is complain about the teleprompter, complain that the stuff's not loaded properly, because she's not a professional, as you know. Now, I'm going to play as much of this as you guys want to hear. I'm numb to it, so I don't know where to get out, okay? But the prepared comedy that Joan Rivers has for us is she's going to start listing all of the experience that she has in the rock and roll lifestyle and all of the key points in music history that she's been a part of. So these are the jokes, folks. She doesn't dance. This is the prepared comedy. This is what she thought would get people entertained. So you just tell me when you've heard enough.
Right. This mama I've heard enough. Has a rock and roll rebel in her. I am the original deflower child.
It's interesting, too, because she writes the material, yet then reads it as if it's in a foreign language. She's got to translate it in her head. I mean, she has so much trouble delivering her own jokes, right?
Yeah, you would think it would be smooth if she wrote it.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, rhythm, and blues. Been there, done there. Shared the Doobies with the Doobie Brothers. Got stoned with the Stones. Changed the name from the Who to the Whom. I'm the one who told the Beatles, hire a star for a drummer. I suggested Diana Ross. Get hair extensions, bitch. Not only that, but it'll take 10 years. They didn't put this in the monitor like I asked them. Anyhow.
Oh, but at least she's old and bitchy, so that's good.
Like, seriously,
she just barrels through it.
I don't even know what she's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that her competition, Ryan Seacrest, looks so good on the E Channel? Like, he is the standard
now. He's a consummate professional compared to her.
All right,
I'm good compared to her.
A little bit more from the great Joan Rivers.
I am the one that said to Mama Cass, don't eat that sandwich!
Right. A reference to...
I don't even understand that.
An urban legend that Mama Cass Elliott died from eating a ham sandwich. She didn't. She had a heart attack, but that was the urban legend. So Joan is making that callback for all the people who enjoy jokes of things that happened 40 years ago. She knows her audience.
God, you dumb.
I was with Cosby, Stills, and Nash, and Rivers originally, but they said, no, Joan, we want someone young. Get it? Neil Young.
Okay.
And she just explained. She had to explain her own joke to us.
I am now out, officially.
And by the way,
I can take no more.
It's Crosby.
Cosby.
She said Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
That's the comedian. All right, one more. Give me one more.
I turned Cheap Trick, got hit on by Ike Turner, as did every woman in this room.
See, because he got arrested for beating up Tina.
And I flew over the Rockies with John Denver. Halfway, but still.
Okay, I think we
get
the sense.
Because he died in a plane wreck.
At a plane crash.
Okay.
All right, well, just a little bit.
No!
Over the rock. And I am also the one who treated Sonny Bono to the ski trip. Who else had to know? I put the tree in country.
All right, here's the bet. This is the closer then.
Wait a minute. I put the tree in country is written comedy. Okay.
Winona added the other part.
Okay, oh! There you go. That's the comedy from.
That made no sense.
Wow.
None.
Wow. She has a job in broadcasting. It makes me so proud of our industry.
And makes millions of dollars for that drivel.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow.
Shame on you, TV Guide Channel. Shame on you, Joan Rivers. Shame on you, anybody else but me who tuned in to watch it yesterday.
This email is subject, Tyra Banks is a big fat liar.
Oh,
so I thought maybe we need to.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows.
Now, Bean has been...
I'm protesting now. I'm protesting already. I haven't even heard it. I already protest.
Bean has been keeping up with this, hey, I love Tyra Banks facade for way too long.
Like, it's 15 not a facade. Years. I do.
Really?
I think she gets a bad rap.
A bad rap. She gives it to herself, Bean. She's bad in every
way.
She's a
lying hypocrite who's also now getting fat.
I don't think that's true. I mean,
the fat suit, the stripper, the dressing up as a man, going to jail. Shut up.
Defend every minute of her talk show. There have been some cringeworthy moments. I grant you that. I just think basically she's a much better person than you guys. You guys are piling on. All right, what's Stephanie's story? What's her deal?
Stephanie, hi.
Good morning.
So we got an email from your daughter.
Yeah, my stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter, okay. Tell us about...
Stephanie's already distancing herself from that woman.
I know.
No.
I can't believe she broadcast my secret shame.
Oh, this is awesome. Tell us about going to high school with Tyra Banks.
Well, first let's set up. Tyra just recently did a program where she was furious at the tabloids for having shown some photos of her that were unflattering. And so Tyra took it upon herself to defend all women with a few extra pounds anywhere who've ever been picked on and told the rest of us who's ever said any disparaging comment about a woman carrying a little extra weight that we should all kiss her ass.
Because yes, she did.
She is the spokesperson for loving yourself the way you are, and we're all beautiful no matter what your shape or size.
Yeah, supermodels can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And she went on and on. She was sobbing. It was just sad.
I'm sure it was pretty pathetic.
Now,
poor fat people.
So you went to high school with her.
I went to junior high school with her.
Junior high school, okay.
International Children's School, and she was basically a tyrant in a plaid jumper.
I'm sorry?
A tyrant in a plaid jumper.
Yes.
Did she put the tyrant in tyrant?
What does that mean?
What was your experience with Tyra like then?
I'm sorry?
What was your experience with Tyra?
Okay, well, I'll give you one little Don King moment that she had.
Okay.
She set up a fight with me and another girl because she hated me so much. She gave me the unflattering nickname of Brainy Smurf because I was more in the brain category.
Okay.
And she set up a fight, and she basically set up 3 1-minute rounds.
She set up a fight? How does she do that with you if you don't want to participate?
Well, I wanted to participate because I was tired of being, you know, kicked around by her and her little crony.
How did she kick you around?
Oh, gosh. She talked about me. She made fun of me in class. She got other girls to talk bad about me.
In what way?
To say that I smelled bad, that I was a nerd, I was Brainy Smurf, don't be my friend. I mean, this is all very, you know, like elementary school, junior high school kind of thing. Talking about my clothing, even though we all had the same clothing, my hair, everything. She was awful.
What was there?
I want to say that I'm over it now.
Was there anything to do with weight? Did you ever have any experiences of her picking on fat people?
You know what? I didn't see her pick on fat people because at the time I was really skinny. Life dealt me a cruel blow afterwards, but that's okay. I'm not bitter.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
You sound fresh and alive.
You know, whatever. She was really jealous of smart people at that time, not really fat people. So
well, because she's an idiot. That's why she was jealous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was more.
See, I don't know how you say something like that, Ralph. I mean, clearly she's a great businesswoman. She's had several very successful TV shows. She managed to, you know, to create an empire out of just being a pretty face. I mean, that is not a dumb woman.
You're right. This is a public service announcement that those people that pick on you really don't always get what's coming to them. Sometimes they're supermodels who are poised to be very rich while you are, you know, living your 9-to-5.
No, my point is that she built her entire empire on her physical appearance, not her brains. Because when she had to start talking, as she does on this talk show, she exposed herself for the simpleton that she is.
See, I agree with you.
Really, do you? Because, I saw her being smart about transitioning out of modeling by starting the America's Next Top Model show, which is an enormous hit in 50 countries around the world.
So is Oprah. Doesn't mean we like her.
No, but what I'm saying is she does a good job hosting that show. You don't watch that show and go, oh, there's a stupid woman. You watch that show and go, there's somebody who knows this business.
She's
and
She's talking about taking pictures
and
what they look like,
so
again.
You brought me on the show to do what?
Yeah, but listen. Ralph and I,
going to bash her.
We are.
I'm just trying to be fair. That's all. I'm just
Bean
trying to not have everybody just pile
that he's had her on. He's had her on a fake pedestal forever.
Bean finds her attractive, so he excuses the enormous lack of talent that she has.
That's not at all a fair characterization.
Did you not hear her songs?
Yeah, that was bad. Look, she's not good at everything. I'll tell you that. She's not good at everything.
Career?
Play the tape of her
defending women everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Angry about the
fact. All of you that have something nasty to say about me or other women that are built like me, women that sometimes or all the time look like this, women whose names you know, women whose names you don't, women who've been picked on, women whose husbands put them down, women at work or girls in school, I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Look, she got a little too emotional over somebody complaining that she gained 10 pounds.
Well,
I agree with you. I'm not defending her card.
She's
not even really emotional. Trying to be balanced.
She's not even really emotional. They're crocodile tears. It's manufactured.
Just a giant fake, hey, I'm one of the little people.
It's a big TV moment.
And I've never picked on anybody in my life. Well, apparently that's not true.
We talked to Brainy Smurf. We know.
She was a mean girl.
She was awful. Don't forget the Don King moment. She was a promoter way when she was in elementary school.
She was already setting up fights. Two girls fight each other.
She had brains. Yeah. All the way back in elementary school to pick little nerds to fight against each other.
Yeah.
And you're not bitter. And I'm over it, Kevin. I'm fine now.
Stephanie, how'd you do in the fight, more importantly?
I'm sorry?
How'd you do in the fight?
Oh, actually, I won.
Oh, good. Yeah. See, there's an upside.
No question about that.
What if we give you the opportunity to fight with Tyra as the undercard of the drink boxing we've got coming up next month? You want to take that up?
Come on, here's your chance to probably beat on Tyra.
Might sit on her. She's too fast.
Tyra would never.
Yeah, she's a size 4.
Yeah. Everybody who looks just like me.
Girls everywhere.
Yeah.
She's a good spokesmodel for that.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
All right. Bye now.
Bye now.
Say it.
Say what? What?
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Say it. Say it.
Say what?
Tyra Banks really blows.
I'm gonna say that I'm can't defend everything that she does, but I can't lump it all together and say 100% she's a bad person. I don't think that's the case. I'm just being honest here.
Yeah, Hitler was a good painter too. He had some talents.
That's what I hear.
It's time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
What about Chris Rock bringing on the Red Hot Chili Peppers, including their fine bassist Flea Gonzalez last night at the Grammys? What about that?
That was weird.
Funny. He did say, yeah, I do actually.
Woo! Okay, let's get this show moving. All right, the next band had their jocks and socks way before Justin put his in a box. Ladies and gentlemen, with 3 new Grammys tonight, the best band in the world, Anthony Kiedis, John Frusciante, Chad Smith, and Flea Gonzalez, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Very funny.
Flea Gonzalez is an odd
name. All right, 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Means. What to do, nephew? Check this out. A pair of passes to join our own Kevin in a luxury suite to watch your Los Angeles Kings take on the Colorado Avalanche. That is, of course, one of the great NHL rivalries. That'll be at Staples Center on Saturday, February the 24th. That's what you get. Get there early if you want any booze to be left, though, because, you know, if Kevin shows up first, you're out of luck.
Can you guys remember that chick that shaved her own nipples off? Remember that?
Oh yeah.
She's back.
Oh,
good. Jennifer and Brea.
Update.
Good morning, Jennifer.
What it do, nephews?
What is going on with you, sister?
Hey, Jennifer.
Okay, Saturday afternoon, this is not a joke. This is the worst week of my life.
You cut the other nipple off.
No. Oh. Saturday afternoon, I was changing my bandage.
Yeah.
Okay? And my phone rang, and I ran to grab it because I was waiting for a call from a girl, which, by the way, I want to say I'm sorry to her.
Yeah.
Anyways. So I went to grab my phone. I had my bandage hanging. My cat jumped up to grab the bandage and ripped out 3 of my stitches.
Oh my God. I'm cringing.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Why do you hate
your own boobs?
I know.
You have to stop this attack on them, this mad boob attack that you're on.
Jennifer, do you want to be a man and you're hoping eventually just to rip them off or what?
Little by little?
You guys don't have to go through half the crap we do.
They have surgeries for that, Jennifer. You want to be a man, just go under anesthesia, for God's sake.
Get them taken off.
Don't let your cat do it.
I know.
Poor Jennifer. Man. She had to go back and have them redone.
I had to go back and get more stitches. It was bloody.
I've heard enough, really.
For folks who weren't listening Friday, her name's Jennifer. She sounds way hot. She nicked herself with a razor in the shower. And if I recall, they were beautiful 34 C's, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Oh, tragic.
She didn't nick herself. She sliced her nipple off.
Not the whole thing.
I sliced it so it was flapping.
Oh God.
Jennifer.
Okay.
Please,
this
is too much. Talking.
Her cat ripped out her nipple stitches.
I have to put you on hold. I can't take
nipple
this anymore.
Nipple stitches, by the way.
She doesn't deserve boobs. If you can't take care of them,
you don't
deserve them.
That's right.
You can't have nice things if you can't take care of them.
All right, let's go to...
like a car.
It's better than a car.
Let's go to Vlad, who is calling from Garden Grove. Vlad the Impaler, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? I was just commenting on drunk boxing. It sounds like a great idea,
But I don't know if you guys have ever fought at least, like, friendly, because I've had fights with friends and we're supposed to be friendly, but once the first punch is thrown and there's contact,
right,
it's on.
So you think it's a bad idea that we're setting ourselves...
No. It's a great idea. It's probably one of your guys' great ideas ever, but just so Ralph and the King of Mexico knows, once the first contact made it, there's going to be war, and it's not going to be funny, and especially when drinking's involved.
Oh, it's going to be very
funny.
Fun
until somebody gets hurt, right?
Alcohol, what did that listener say? Alcohol is Dave the King of Mexico's spinach?
That's right, like Popeye.
Like Popeye, yeah. When he drinks, that guy is just, you need to be afraid for your life.
Oh, I fully expect Dave just to go off.
He just loses it.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when he was, thank you, Vlad, for the call. We appreciate it. When we were at the Dodger Day last year at Dodger Stadium, and yes, Dave was drinking, and he became obsessed with the beach balls that the people were throwing around the right field bleachers. And he had that look in his eye like somebody was raping his mommy. I mean, he just went for these people. He's tackling people and punching people. He couldn't have been more
worked up over
those beach
balls. There were like four of us
balls
on him trying to get the beach ball away from him, and we couldn't do it. He had supernatural power.
Yeah.
I know. He's unbalanced.
Yeah. He's like a pit bull with that locking jaw. You just can't pull him off.
Yeah. All right, let's
go. Is he a pit bull who's raping his mommy? I'm all confused now. too many metaphors.
Just be very afraid.
Oh, okay.
Jennifer in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm sorry, Jenner in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Jenner.
This call is directed for Lisa, because I'm sure the guys don't know anything about this. But listen, tell me what you think about this, Lisa.
Okay.
My girl this weekend, she tells me over dinner, don't worry about Valentine's Day this weekend. It's just a commercialization of a nice holiday. Don't be caught up in it.
Set up.
I don't expect anything. I don't want anything. Am I being set up, Lisa?
Yes. Jenner, here's the thing. She believes it right up until you don't get her something. And then, you're in the doghouse.
This is a test.
Even
a test.
If she never tells you, she's going to be really disappointed. I mean, at least a card and some flowers.
Don't believe
her.
Don't believe the hype.
I believe that it's a setup and it's BS. And yet, if I didn't get a card, I would be sad.
Do something.
You're not even with Jenner. For God's sakes.
All men.
Jenner, do something.
Send me a card. Yeah, do something, Jenner.
Do something, unless it's like Bean's house where it's Valentine's Day every day.
Every day, right.
Thank you for noticing. And by the way, Valentine's Day, another one of those holidays that's theoretically about couples, just like engagements, but it really is a one-way street. It's the where the woman gets everything and the guy gets nothing. Let's always keep that in mind.
Come on.
It's just not
true. It's
totally true.
It's true for you, Bean.
It's not totally true.
Bean has had some very, very bad Valentine's. You can tell by
his
voice.
Apparently his parents were murdered on one, judging from his tone.
It's one way, guys. That's all I'm telling you. Gimme, 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 gimme.
My lovely wife always gets me something nice on Valentine's Day.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Exactly, sir. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Chewy in Sylmar. Good morning, Chewy.
What to do, nephew?
What to do, nephew?
Hi, Chewy.
Yeah, I wanted to see what's up with the rockabilly wave, man. There's this a fellow employee of mine that works with me.
Mm-hmm.
He likes everything 50s, including his women.
Everything 50s, yeah.
Everything 50s, yeah.
I'm out.
But just
that.
Because one and guy likes 19. Rockabilly music doesn't mean it's making a comeback, Chewy. You know that, right?
Do you feel like it's making a comeback?
Check it out. Last Saturday, I was at a club in Hollywood, and it looked like the Caddyshack because everybody was wearing golfer's hats.
Yeah. You're in the wrong place. What the hell is going on?
Yeah. That's the guy right there. That's him.
Well,
right
tell
there.
Him to stop
like
it. What's he yelling about?
What is the Caddyshack golfer hats have to do with the rockabilly? I'm so confused on this call, Chewy.
Let's go back to the chick who can't take care of her boobs. All right, Chewy, I'm lost. I apologize, but we got
what's going on today where we have Vlad and then Chewy and now Israel is on the line from Chatsworth. What is happening today?
Brian Setzer was very excited there for a minute when that phone call came in. Now he's sad again.
Israel, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Shalom.
I got in trouble at work.
Why?
I like my coffee black, like my women.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that?
Yeah. Somebody heard me, and then they told HR, and HR wrote me up and sent me home.
What kind of business do you work at?
It's an investigations company.
Well, you should know better than that. You can't say things like that.
Well, apparently you can't say, how's it hanging, and hump day.
You can't say, how's it hanging?
Nope.
No, you can say that, but you can't say, how's it hanging?
Yeah.
Did you get called into HR to be told this?
Yes.
What else can't you say?
Hump day, for you referred as Wednesday.
You can't say hump day.
Wow.
Wow.
Because that's sexual.
Rick Dees is going to be so upset.
Yeah. Can you still say, boy, those blacks are lazy? Still say that?
No, you never could say that.
Oh, really?
You can never say that.
Oh, I thought that was one of the ones you could get away with.
You can't say that about any race.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, those blacks.
No.
Or porch monkey.
Okay.
Come on.
for the call. Now you've taken a little bit of
come on
of harmless fun, and you've just gone too far.
Ralph was playing the guy who went too far. You don't have to take it further than him, jackass.
Israel. I bet he works with some gorilla faces. Are going to be upset.
Come on. That was awesome. It.
All right. I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean show, including Richard Makowitz. He is the host of TV's Future Weapons with a new episode tonight at 9 on the Discovery Channel. I will check that show out, you guys. It sounds
good.
It sounds awesome.
See, mine was supposed to be wildly inappropriate.
I know. You were supposed to be the guy who went too far.
Right. And then Israel comes along.
And then Israel had to take it further.
Makes it ugly.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, thanks to NASCAR driver Carl Edwards. You can meet him today at the California Speedway from noon till 1. They're selling tickets for the upcoming Auto Club 500 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series. It's going to be Sunday, February 25th at the California Speedway in Fontucky. Go to californiaspeedway.com. And, of course, our thanks, as always, to The Hammer, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, for all the very latest in What's Up with Anna Nicole Smith.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Kristen Bell on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to keep the Dave the King of Mexico away this time because he's really ruined the last several times we've had her on, hasn't he?
Hasn't
Kristen Bell,
good.
I'm in love. I love you. I've loved your show since it was on the CW before the CW.
She's another actress who's getting hotter, by the way. If you see the commercials, the trailers for the new Veronica Mars episode.
Every episode.
She's getting sportier and sportier.
Very attractive.
Also, K-Rock World Tour 2007, destination number 7, Fall Out Boy in Paris. We will continue to qualify you for that. And Kevin Bean's Urinal Cake Theater tomorrow.
You're finished. You're finished. You're out of ideas. Your show is over.
Urinal Cake Theater.
It's time for you.
This is going to be the
pack up your headphones.
Best ever.
Pick up your check and just say it's been a nice run.
This is going to be the best.
Because you're out.
I'm a little bitchy today. It was a long weekend.
Long night at the Grammys, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
Corbin's up next.
Gnarls Barkley's up next.
With 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Phantom Lynn, new music from The Shins. Also, we got Green Day coming up, Stone Sour, Radiohead, My Chemical Romance, and so much more right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.